Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Hello.
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 How are you?
Oh, hello. No.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Chief.
Hey, how's it going, Chief?
Here we are.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, Don?
What's the special? You were telling me upstairs in the office, what's the special at Hank's Look Around Cafe?
Oh, hold on. Come on.
Hold on. It's like he's on the telephone. Wait a minute. What was that?
Look Around Cafe.
It's like a talking doll.
You know what that is? That's the Mike O'Mara doll.
Look Around Cafe.
Hold on. What about this? What about when you pull this string?
You're always going to have a table for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Hey. I heard a rumor.
Yeah?
At O'Mara's Look Around Cafe.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I'm thinking about to get new signs now. Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
I swear to God.
Is it really?
Yeah, I don't know the details. You know me.
So that's what you're selling at your establishment now, Bacardi Limon?
Ladies' night on Wednesday, yeah. Bacardi Limon.
You probably have that in there every night.
It is in there every night. This is a thingy, one of those thingies they have. You know, like the cooler thing. And on the side, they were showing it to me today, and it had Bacardi Limon.
That's very nice. But did you say Wednesday is ladies' night?
Yes. That's right, Chief.
Burbank. This begs another question.
Yes. What you cooking for vittles, Mike?
Let me look in the pot.
That's what he said, Chief.
Chief. Money, Chief. No, I'm just excited about that. Thank you, Tony.
Cool.
Let's see. More. Hello.
Hello.
More gooder ratings. Okay.
More gooder.
No, good. We don't talk about that.
No.
We do talk about this. We do talk about the Bill O'Reilly moment of the day.
Yes.
Fake newsman Bill O'Reilly.
Very good.
Said something of a show of real consequence, and here it is today. All right, Bill. What say you?
I am so boring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Right,
well, I like that.
Never thought he'd admit that.
I'll go with it, but he's so honest. You know, every day, whether it's prostitution, drugs, guns, or in this case, his personality.
I am so boring.
Didn't see O'Reilly. That coming.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill O'Reilly.
That's the moment of the day.
Bill O'Reilly. Isn't he funny? Hello.
Oh, God.
Hello.
We're all talking like Scott Shannon again.
Not
listen,
all of us.
Listen, before we start the show, I'll throw this one out there for my wife, Lucy Ricardo, who has recently discovered that if she goes out with a tape recorder that she can do bits that get on the show.
Sure.
Because, like, she's not on the show enough already.
No. I got hiccups.
She would like to go to the correspondence dinner, the White House correspondence dinner.
Hey, that's exciting.
Saturday night here in D.C. And she said to me, why don't you just say on the air that we want to go? And I said, well, the problem there would be I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not Biff Sores.
Michael Sores.
And his wife, Biff.
I don't think so. No, so... Listen, if you got a ticket for the thing...
Well, wait a minute. She should be able to get it. We should be able to get her a ticket.
That's why I'm saying it on the radio.
Oh, well, get it through the radio, you
mean. So she needs a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, she wants more than one, I take it, right? A pair?
Mm.
She doesn't want to go unaccompanied.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't you get invited to that?
No, never. Are you kidding
come on.
Me?
Well, you're
I'm a left-wing liberal
that
communist.
That doesn't have anything to
reporter.
Do with it.
Come on, no, he's
there are
not.
Lots of left-wing liberals there.
No, but come on. Buzz did that thing with the mask with the girl on the show.
Yeah,
come on,
true.
Buzz has come to terms with, with who
so
he is.
That.
Wasn't there a time that we were invited to it?
To the White House.
We may have been.
We did. We were once, and we did not go.
Right.
We did not go. There for whatever go. Reason we went. Hey, no, but anyway.
You know, we don't even get tickets to the bartender's ball anymore.
Anyway, she'd like she'd like to go.
Don't get invited to anything.
She'd like to go, and she'd like to bring a tape recorder. So if you can do me a solid, I would appreciate it. I would call her now, but she is at work.
Mm-hmm.
I will just tell you a brief little a cute story.
Please.
A marriage.
About your bride?
A marriage story.
Oh, love
that.
Those.
I've tried very hard not to, you know, to bore you with medical stuff. I had nothing life-threatening, but some medical stuff I had to have today, some shots.
Right.
Today. And, It was, what, do we need her music?
Yeah.
Anyways, the thing, a couple people knew about is going to get outpatient thing to have this done. And I'm leaving the doctor's place today, and my cell phone rings, and it's her, and it's right when I'm leaving the place.
Right.
And I go, hello, and she says, hi, baby. She's, hi, baby. And she says, I was just wondering if you need me. And I said, now, isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. As it turns out, I feel fine. I've got no problem driving. Thank you for asking. As a matter of fact, I already called Rob in case I needed a ride. But thank you for asking. I know that you're working today. And she said, no. I meant, did you need me on the show today?
Wow.
And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't.
She's getting a little happy with the show.
Yeah,
that's good, though, I suppose.
Yeah, she is. And just for
hi, baby.
Future reference, you know, really, when I needed you, Frida, that would be last night.
Mm-hmm.
Last night between 10 and 11 p.m. as we lay in bed during CSI Miami, and I pawed you like an animal in the forest, and while you were awake and watching TV, your body was asleep.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And not I was
you weren't
not,
able to awaken her?
I was. No, Mike, she was awake.
But, I mean, you really weren't able to awaken her?
It was
from her winter's nap.
It was
rouse her.
It was a shun that was unspoken. It was not even one of those, oh, get your hands off me, or
she just lay there dormant,
ignored you. Really.
Just laid there, and
you didn't you didn't raise the temperature of the earth to cicada level.
I did not. I know that we're doing a new show now with new standards, so I won't.
That's why I'm mentioning cicadas when we talk about.
I won't tell you what I did. But
not next to her.
What do you mean, not next to her?
I just think I'm predicting what you're going to say.
Oh, no, I didn't do that.
Okay.
No, I didn't do that. I was
wondering with the current Luke Gehrig streak that you were on, I was wondering whether you were.
I was focused on the task at hand.
Okay.
And I love baseball, and whenever I played baseball, I loved getting to second base.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? So I'm imagining I'm playing baseball and I've hit a single and Lord, I've turned it into a double.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I'm there and I'm on second base. And yet, for whatever reason,
their team was still dead.
Yes, it seems that nothing was happening. I must have just walked into an empty baseball stadium, stood up there like I was pretending I was swinging the bat, swung it, thought I made good contact. Mm-hmm. I ran to first, and they said, go to second.
Yeah.
I got to second base. There was nobody there.
It was just empty.
There was nobody there.
A feeling of emptiness.
So, what's it called when you when you get into doing it with dead people?
Necrophilia.
Yes. That
I was going to say that I was swallowing my compatriot there was right on it. He is the wordsmith.
That's what I would say would happen.
Necrophilia.
Right. So, no, do I need you today? No, I don't need you on the show. I think we'll make it through the show without you. I've asked for your correspondence ticket to see if anybody can call so you can be Lucy Ricardo.
I certainly hope that this evening the team wakes up.
But, yeah, I needed you last night.
Time to come off the bench.
You know, nothing,
hope
Mike,
you go for a four-bagger.
Mike, nothing kills it more. You hit a double, and then you get no team pitching, and you're stranded out there.
Prior to doing this, at any time, did you mute the sound of the television?
Oh, yes.
Mm. That's always
a
sign.
You know, that's my tell.
Yeah, well, I think that's everybody's tell. I would assume most guys, that would be a tell, if they mute the TV.
And when I muted the TV, and this was after I had already, she said, what'd you do?
Oh.
I said, I muted the TV. Turn it back up.
No. Oh,
okay.
That's
I said, where's my Foreigner's Greatest Hits album?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really say this, but if I was smart, I would have said this to her. Where's my Foreigner's Greatest Hits album? She'd say, why? I'd say, because I want to listen to that song, Cold as Ice. Okay.
Only thing left
I'm
was
so
the sorry. Bar of the Bat.
No need. I'm okay. I'll get all the release.
I don't know.
Tar the Bat.
I said the only thing left is to Tar the Bat.
Tar the Bat.
That point.
Okay. I will get all the release that I need right here on this show today.
1920? No, it's a baseball reference.
No, yes, Pines are.
It's basically modern, but it's
George Brett.
Sometimes he says stuff that whacks me out. You know?
I do.
He's medicated.
I like that.
Okay.
Hey now!
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right. Yes, we are. Yeah. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, honey. Oh, hi there. Hi, fellas.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
This
hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Bugs be whack.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hundreds of shards of razor-sharp plate glass cascading within inches of my face, and yet somehow I escape injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the ships at sea. They host a highly rated show on Westwood One. I am talking, of course, about Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for listening to the Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday.
04. 27.
Hi, Don and Mike.
04.
Buzz Burbank here.
You jumped in there,
I
bud.
Did.
That's okay.
He was starring his best.
April 27, odd 4. Here's how you can call us anytime from America. 877-365-3636. From Canada, you can call 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK-FM. Please, to be calling, always 202-432-1067.
Very good.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Now, this thing about my wife and the ticket, if someone out there can just hook me up or tell me where I can buy a ticket.
White House Correspondents'
for this dumb,
Dinner.
Dumb thing.
I really think that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is not necessarily something that we should be excluded from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they really should. I believe that if you put yourself on Mike, notice that you want to request something, you should get it.
Mike?
Yes?
Did you know we're doing the segment today?
I know. I'm sorry. Am I jumping the gun?
A little. Because, you know, it's like Shannon.
I know.
It's these voices.
They get, you get used to talking
if
like that.
If we start talking like this,
I understand.
By the time it's time for Jew to Jew,
it will be completely burned out.
Hello! Now we'll talk like Scott Shannon.
I think the correspondence dinner is really a cash-only deal, because don't publications buy tables?
I think you're right, like Vanity Fair. Wendell, you're peering in here. Do you have insight?
Wendell Hall, our engineer, Smoot Hall. Hi,
here we go.
Hi, Wendell.
Of the Senate Press Galleries.
Okay.
And that's how you get the invites to the dinner.
Oh, good. You're a member of the Senate Press Gallery?
I used to be. Back, remember the year the Million Man March came to town?
Right.
Do I? I was in it.
Hey, I was covering it.
So that's how you do it. So is it like various publications and magazines and stuff like that?
Yeah, if you're a member of the press galleries, you get an invite.
Listen, here's the deal. We do a radio show that a certain amount of people listen to. If you like the show and you can get me a ticket for this, it'd be a great way to get my wife out of my hair on Saturday night. She really has got this Lucy Ricardo thing now,
right,
where she wants to be in showbiz.
Right.
She wants to be on the show, but she's not happy enough just being on the show, being my wife, complaining about being my wife. She wants to go places and do things with the microphone.
Right.
And this is something she wants to do because, for whatever reason, she thinks she's going to go out there and get, like, some fantastic interview.
Have you been to the dinner, Smoot?
Oddly enough, that year, that was the year that Imus was there.
Oh, the big,
and took everybody off?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big controversial appearance.
I didn't get an invite.
Al stupid idiot.
I'll tell you right now. My colleague working for KISS, dude.
A Don and Mike.
Yeah, Mr. President.
Larry.
Oh, yes. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, Larry.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of, not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right?
Good
Don
show. Good TV show.
So he was. I think that's where they originated from. Yeah.
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 Las Vegas. Hello.
I don't want to talk about them. I won't come out and say it, but I don't want to talk about them.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mark.
All right. Well, Wendell, thank you for the info. Or as the kids would say, thank you for the 411.
Yes, the 411.
And if anybody can help me on that, I'd appreciate it. Now, College Man is coming back home.
Oh, the college son. I thought he was coming back last weekend.
Well, I thought he was too.
He didn't show up?
He's not. Every day we get a call, there's another reason that he's not here yet. He's done with college. He's ready to come home for the summer. Let me see. The magic words here, I'm gonna try to call my son, which it'll be a miracle if he picks up the phone. I'm going to call him and ask him if he knows what the three-word mantra is before he walks back in to our home this year.
Oh, this is good. I don't even know that.
Now, we're not on in the area that he goes to college, so I feel secure saying this. The three-word mantra is, get a job.
Amen. Yes.
What are the three words that this kid needs to hear? And I speak on behalf of all parents everywhere with kids that you're tired of it and you just want them to get a friggin' job.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, I love him more than life itself.
Of course.
I do. Is this Bart? This is your dad. I love you. What is the mantra?
Job.
So we'll see if I thought he would be on his way home today.
Hello.
He called me to say that I don't think he's going to be leaving till tomorrow. Hey, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, you're on the air.
What's up?
Hello, Bart.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bart.
Here is the question that I have for you. As you depart college for the summer, what do you think? I have a three-word mantra that I want you to establish in your head on your way back home before you get back to the house that now Mom and I live in an orderly, peaceful fashion. Can you tell me, can you guess what my three-word mantra for you would be, my son?
One more chance.
Okay. No, no, no. I'm sorry, it's not one more chance. You have unlimited chances at being my son because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you a hint. The first word is get.
I'm thinking of one that's forward.
Forwards?
It's get out of bed.
Oh, now it's concerning me. Now it's concerning me. He doesn't know it after that hint. He should know it.
Bart, avoidance. Bart, it is three words. That's the first word.
It would be, I will give him another hint that won't give it away. It would be the mantra in many homes of returning students.
Oh, well, I'm a... Get a job?
Yeah! Yes, get a job.
Why do you go crazy over that? I already told you I've been talking to people down here about getting a job back home.
Okay. See, this is the only thing that worries me. You're talking about people in South Carolina about getting a job in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh. Because my friend in South Carolina knows people who work at a booking agency.
Okay.
It's just temp work all over the nation.
Okay. Just so we're square on this now, you know, and
however, I talk to him, and he doesn't know if it's going to go through, so as soon as I get back, he's flying everywhere in the area.
That's what I want to hear. There you go.
He needs a young, able boy who's not really going to put 100% in, maybe 90-95. Your man.
You know, I love you, but you know, what are the two things I'm taking from you the moment you walk through my door?
Two cards. Credit cards, gas cards.
Right.
Bingo.
Right.
He seems to be well prepped.
Yeah. Okay. You passed the test today. And it wasn't get out of bed, incidentally, or what was his first guess?
That goes without saying, though. I think that really would be conducive, you know, prior to employment, if you were to, like, pull a time out of thin air as to the rally time, the time that he will be required to get up in the morning.
Well, it depends on the job he gets.
No, I mean, as far as prior to getting a job, that's kind of your call, though.
Would be a good time of day to start the job.
To start the job hunt. I mean, I think...
Well, you don't mean...
No. With this sleep thing, I'm going to be getting up at 8 in the morning, and I have to.
Yes. See, my son has sleep apnea.
Oh, okay.
So...
No, not the sleep apnea. It's a disorder.
Whatever the doctors say.
Right.
No.
And,
okay. Never mind. I give up.
Well, no, don't give up. I wasn't even going to bring that up. And all this time here, I thought you were just a lazy slug who enjoyed sleeping until 4 in the afternoon. Then he goes to a sleep doctor, and they say, no, that there's something. So now, here's what the sleep doctor, incidentally, this is what Frieden and I have been trying to tell this. He's 19 now, his whole life.
Hey, 19.
We've tried to get him up in the morning when he lived at home until he went to college.
Uh-huh.
We'd get him up, we'd get him moving. He goes to college, and we said to him all the time, you know, how you doing with your classes? Oh, I'm late because I overslept. So now he goes to see a sleep doctor. You know what the sleep doctor says?
Mm.
Well, the first thing we have to do is train your body. So I want you to get up every morning at 8 o'clock, and I want you to go to bed. You know, this is what Mom and I have been telling you for how long?
Dad, there's a reason I'm sleeping so late. There's a reason.
All right.
Because the relays in my brain are all banged up.
Really?
Okay.
That's what I was told by... The doctor told me, don't laugh.
You must know.
The relays in your brain are all mixed up.
You have to retrain them.
Obviously not his exact words.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to hear...
I'd be scared of a doctor came out and said, the relays in your brain are all mixed up.
All right. Either way, son. So when do you think you're going to be back? Tomorrow?
Yeah, in theory.
In theory. All right. Well, as soon as you get here, I'll see you. And you've got your mantra. Get a job. I love you. Mom loves you. We'll see you as soon as you get home.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, what was his?
That was a funny little conversation.
What was his first answer?
One more chance.
One more chance.
One more chance, and then get out of bed.
Get a job.
That's my boy.
Up at 8.
That's my boy. Up at 8. But Dad, the doctor says I have to get up at 8. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? That's going to be.
Hey, that's a good doctor, though.
But that's going to be a whole. That's easy for the doctor to write that prescription when it's going to be Frieda and I up in there pouring gigantic buckets of water on him to get him up and get him going
in
the morning.
That's the job from the doctor, right? To get him up at 8 o'clock.
I guess. I've heard more versions of this from him, you know, and when he gets to the stuff about my brain is wormy and, come on.
What, do you have a good alarm clock? Do you have one that's like a...
Mike, I don't know if you remember this. I talked about it so much when he was a senior. We had a system in his room, like something from Back to the Future, where... There was a speaker that was directly next to his ear. And I'm not talking about a radio speaker for like a transistor radio. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like one of the speakers that we have hanging on the wall.
Wow.
It would go off at whatever time he was supposed to get up, 6:15, 7:15. I swear to Christ, we had neighbors complaining about the music.
Really?
He slept through it.
Wow.
And I would put stuff on like... Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not putting Carpenter's music on there.
Right.
I put, get the lead out.
Right.
And everybody up and down the street can hear this. And in our house at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, hey, baby, that's the way you move. Meanwhile, he's up there.
Really? I mean, just out, not even opening his eyes.
Yeah, and when we finally believed him that maybe he wasn't just lazy, it was one time this fall when he was at college, when they called and said his dormitory was on fire and that the fire alarms were going off and there was smoke in there and that the firemen had to come in and he was sleeping through it.
Wow.
He was sleeping through the place being on fire, all the fire alarms going
fire
off,
trucks,
and 12 fire trucks outside.
My God.
So anyway, that's his story. That's what's going on with him. He'll be back, I guess, tomorrow. Man, it seems...
In theory, he said he will be back tomorrow.
Yeah, it just seems too soon. It seems like he's just gone. Yeah. And I don't know how many other parents out there feel like Frieda and I do. We love our son more than anything. We've devoted our life to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're glad to have him come back for the summer. But now that he's been gone for almost a year, you know, we've kind of got everything in order. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. You're kind of doing your own thing, as parents are often want to do.
Well, you know, it's the small thing. It's the small things that we know... Now the entire house will be turned upside down day and night. The basement will not be livable anymore. The house will always smell of boy. I know that I'm going to go through the argument, you know, with Frieda saying, "What is this? What is this?" And it's Skoll or whatever dumb thing it is. They're chewing tobacco like the hillbilly friends down at college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we're going to have to go through that. It's going to be get up in the morning.
Is he dipping?
I don't even know. You know.
Smokeless tobacco, bad stuff.
He just puts a pinch between his cheek and gum.
Dipping. Yeah, he's dipping. Yeah.
I think so. I don't know. Anyway, we're just trying to tell him it's still a house full of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different house from when you lived here before.
You're not familiar with the dip, are you?
Never tried it, Mike.
You'll be familiar when you pick up like the 18 plexiglass, not the styrofoam cup. It's around your house.
Yeah.
Or if, God forbid, you accidentally...
Oh, were to pick up a glass. Oh,
yeah, that could be pretty nasty.
Gross, gross, gross. Yeah, what he's just going to have to know is this is still a house of love, and it's always going to be home. But the deal is now that you're grown up, you have to live like grown-ups live.
Sure.
As long as if you want to, you know, crash here for the summer.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and crash. But,
exactly.
You know, get a job. That's the message. Get a job.
I think he knows now. I think he got it.
Get a job. Well, God knows he's heard it from me. I was on the phone with him last night. You know, and he, of course, why wouldn't he be happy? He's done with his first year of college. He's looking forward to the summertime. He's saying, hey, I'm going to be home in a couple of days. Meanwhile, I'm saying, how old are you? And he said, I'm 19. I said, do you realize by the time I was 19, and I never went to college, I had already been working full-time for almost 6 years.
That's right.
Did you have any idea what the... Dad, I've heard this before. Dad, I've heard this story before.
Sure.
You should be encouraged on that get a job thing, because it was his third guess. So, it's way up there on the list.
It's after it's after one more chance.
One more chance and get out of bed.
And get out of bed.
Get out of bed. All right. That's him. Oh, do we have this thing? Oh, my God. We got some more Scott Shannon tape.
Oh, no.
Goody. I just want to tell you.
Oh, no.
I know that this is a guilty pleasure of ours.
Right.
But I'm sorry, it's the voice, it's the persona, we're hooked on it now.
Yes.
I urge you to go, as I mentioned before, this guy was a mentor of mine in the radio business 25 years ago.
I know.
Really just taught me a lot that I carry over to our show today, which is why I feel the need to make this introduction before we begin.
To make fun of him.
Totally mock him.
Right.
Go to ScottShannon.com.
There you go.
His website, where you can see all of the pictures of his chiseled face. Since we were talking about him, there are people who know him and radio people who
right.
Are you aware that back in 1985, he started a radio station in Los Angeles that crashed and burned like in 30 days.
Yes, yeah. Pirate Radio.
Called Pirate Radio, and this is kind of what the beginning of it sounded like.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to K-Life Radio, KIQQ-FM. KIQQ Radio has broadcast on an assigned frequency of 100.3 FM and has served the Los Angeles metropolitan area with contemporary music since February 12, 1973.
And you thought I liked hearing my voice a lot on the radio.
My God, does he do? Hey, hi, ho.
100.3 in Los Angeles.
Most recently, the station has been owned and operated by the Outlet Broadcasting Corporation. On March the 16th, 1989, KIQQ Radio was sold by the Outlet Corporation to the Westwood One Radio Group.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. It goes on and on. Like
making
it
such a big deal.
It's a guilty pleasure. You'll have to hear bits and pieces
it's
of it.
It's just like the introduction of the format.
The switchover from KIQ.
Can we hear a little just
to pirate
taste.
Radio?
Yeah.
The sign on.
It goes on for a way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
At that time, the decision was made to continue broadcasting the current format as K-Light Radio and KIQQ-FM.
Yes.
If you have been a K-Light KIQQ listener and would like to continue to hear more light contemporary music, then we recommend tuning to any of these fine broadcast frequencies. 94.7 FM, The Wave. 98.7 FM, K-Joy.
And back then in 1988, he thought he was very cutting edge.
But he's actually promoting other radio
stations. He's signing on a new radio station.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, he's saying, if you listen to the old station,
here's what I suggest you do. I'm cool.
K-Joy.
103.1 FM, K-Surf, the West Side Sound. Or 103.5 Coast FM.
Yes.
The staff and management of K-Light KIQQ are proud to have served you and lightened your day for the past few years.
That's a little dig, isn't it?
Before K-Light KIQQ officially departs the airwaves, we thought it would be appropriate to feature one last recording.
Of course. And then it goes on to whatever this dumb song is.
Does he play the whole song?
Yeah, we'll come back to this a little later, because this is now 3 or 4 minutes of just the worst record you ever heard.
So he took the worst possible song that they had played.
Of course.
You know, it's
of course.
He's a funny guy. He is a funny guy.
K-I-Q-Q.
And then he comes in with his new, I'm sorry, I'm fascinated by this. I apologize. Right. I really am.
Give me just a peek at part two.
The mothership has landed. Pirate Radio USA.
This was
Pirate Radio USA. This is your chance to get the original. Lock out your competition and knock out your Saturday night listeners.
Transmitting over North America.
Guys.
And voice unknown. This is
Yeah, Pirate Radio.
U.S.
Because here was the whole thought behind this.
Okay. For five live hours every Saturday night.
Okay, shut up, Jen. The deal is that, you know, he goes to Los Angeles with the idea. We tell people it's Pirate Radio.
Right.
We play whatever we want. He actually rented out, leased out some warehouse space.
Right.
So that he could say, we're broadcasting from our illegal studio in the warehouse district, where we play only the hottest rock, Pirate Radio.
And it was in the industry at the time.
Uh-huh.
It had the buzz, excuse me, buzz. Right. The buzz on the street about this was the biggest thing that had happened to radio.
Yeah.
And one of the main reasons for the buzz was that he generated it himself.
Right. Hello.
That's what he does.
Hello.
Station in your market. And with limited breaks in each hour, you'll get the most music without the usual BS. Pirate Radio, USA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cutting edge. Angel by Aerosmith.
Rock and roll, this is Vince Neil.
And Mick Mars.
From Motley Crue.
That's right.
And you're cranking it out on Pirate Radio. In the good old USA.
Well, there's not enough Shannon on that
one. I don't
know. It's a full hour.
Oh. But what? It started in L.A. and it was a format that he was marketing to the whole country.
Yeah, and it died in L.A.
Right.
It died on that station.
As I recall reading, one of the reasons it didn't do well, the Hispanic population had come to call Shannon from seeing his face on the many billboards.
El Diablo.
Had come to call him El Diablo.
The devil.
Yes, the devil. Because he looked like the devil.
Yeah. That's very true.
He frightened people.
Hello.
Right, he scared the the billboard was his face.
Yes. And it said Scott Shannon Mornings.
Right. And they were terrified of him.
If you doubt it, go to ScottShannon.com. There is a picture of him there, a photograph that looks like it was painted on black velvet. And that's the only way to describe it. And it's
Hello.
Really horrifying.
Hello.
And now he's doing the same kind of thing. You know, he keeps plugging.
Yeah.
He's got his oldies thing.
My oldest channel.
Kind of going back a ways. He's not going to do...
no more hair bands.
No, not at all.
In 1967, this TV band had the number one song, The Monkey.
Loves being a DJ. Loves being a DJ as much as you love being
a DJ. Oh, maybe more than me.
It'd be a good contest.
Maybe more than me.
He loves it more. Hello.
You know what, Rob, you're a DJ. Oh, yes. We got to do a break. Remind me at some point here, I'd like to talk to you about your upcoming personal appearance.
Yes, there's going to be many chances for Mr. and Mrs. Listener to touch hands with me this summer.
At Circuit City. Wow. And it's only, you know, a lot of times you only find out what's really going on with the guy by talking to someone close to him.
Right.
When I was speaking with Carrie, your wife.
Carrie, my wife.
was it a couple weeks ago you were that Lowe's that I told you I was going to come out to?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Did you make it out to that appearance?
No, because I got the time screwed up.
Oh,
I thought it was 1 to 3, and it turned out it was like 10 till noon, something like that.
I think it was a 10 to noon,
So
yeah.
Carrie calls me and says, are you going to go see Rob today? I said, yeah, I'm going to see him. She said, well, it's not till later today. Anyway, a very long story. She ends up telling me, has Rob ever told you how awful his appearances are? And I said, you know, he never says anything about that to me. She said, did he tell you the time that he went to a place? I think he had to do an appearance at a Mobile Exxon on the Run.
Yep.
And they made him squeegee everybody's windows.
Oh.
Yeah.
And did he tell you about the time that they made him wear the hat and stand outside?
Really?
And hand out, what is it you were handing out?
Who even remembers? The one that comes to mind is that Mobile appearance, because it was a hot summer day, and I had to put on the Mobile uniform. I
and
had
squeegee people.
The Mobile shirt that said Rob.
Oh, wow.
And I had to...
You don't remember the hat, though?
I don't remember the hat.
You blocked the hat.
I must have blocked the hat.
Well, you're right. Your wife remembers that. And she
told me, traumatizing that he blocked it.
She also told me that one you did was at, like, at a shopping center,
mm-hmm.
and there was nobody that was coming up to talk to you, and when she would approach you, you would scream at her and say, get away, leave me alone, and then for 2 hours you just wanted to, so she watched you for 2 hours just standing there. And listen,
was long enough ago. There was a time when it mattered to me, and
right.
It doesn't anymore, because mm-hmm. no matter what happens for that wonderful 2 hours, I still get the same big fat
check. So you used to take it personally.
I do.
You
I
would
did.
Want people
yeah.
to come and greet you as Rob.
But I don't care anymore. Now I'll just
And you would push
up.
Your wife away.
And yeah.
if she were to walk up to you at one of these things, you'd calmly chat with her?
Maybe.
What about?
It depends.
What about the guy who that wanted you to bring a sound system with you? That's another one she told me about.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is also great is they all want to do a live broadcast on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we don't do that here. We're
right.
not a regular radio station.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest one ever, and it was a high-end electronics store. I don't remember what brand. It was in Sterling. The lady who engineered the appearance says, I know that you're not going to really do a phone in, but here, take my cell phone and go near the manager and pretend to call in.
Wow.
Oh, God.
And this is I did it every 15 minutes.
It's, hours. It's also you could make extra money. And
yeah.
I was telling your wife, that's, you know, Mike and I did a million of those things.
We did.
When Blockbuster first opened, we would go to every single one. But even
what
about
Lewis?
When I worked BM, before Mike, the worst one I ever did was a Saturday. Like in 1979, at the girls' department, the junior miss department at Hex,
mm-hmm.
on a Saturday at 1:30,
right.
when I walked into this department store, hungover,
mm-hmm.
and there were no signs,
yep.
there was no banner, there was no nothing.
Anybody that's been in this business a long time has done that. We call them remotes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what they're done, and they're horrible.
So I go up to the lady, and I go, hey, hi, I'm from WPGC, and she says, yeah, you know, and I work at Hex, what can I do for you? I'm the DJ. I said, well... Okay, I'll call somebody.
So you were like in the bowels of the big department.
Yeah, and it was the junior miss department. And you know, I'm standing there. It's like, what am I doing? And finally someone comes over and goes, hey, Don, hey, it's Don. Where are the signs? You know, just like, and that's what I was telling your wife, right. like 25 years later. Same crap I remember.
They all do the same thing.
Nobody gave me a sign.
It's like a sales guy or a sales girl that's responsible for putting the signs up, and it never happened.
I was sent out to a computer store once, and we were supposed to do, I think, 11 to 1, and then another radio station is going to do 1 to 3. It was our sister station, WPG Synergy C.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed up, and we had, like, anything that was left over from this show as mm-hmm. giveaways
yes.
and a plastic banner.
Done that.
When PGC showed up, they actually planned it wrong. They overlapped us by an hour. They had something that unfolded to the size of a small room with a built-in sound system and chasing lights
right.
and everything, and it really made me feel great
yeah. sure.
about working at Washington Superstation.
Rob, you're going to be at, where are you going to be now? Let's plug this appearance.
Oh, you know what? It's still in the planning stages, so I can't tell you
yeah.
yet.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's a Circuit City in Laurel.
That's a fleet in your case.
It is.
Congratulations.
Show up and watch me collect my check.
And Buzz,
yes.
Didn't you just do one a couple of months ago where people just ignored you as well?
A few months back, maybe even late last year, a mall appearance with ESPN. Because when you think of sports, you think of me.
Yeah.
And so it's me and some guys shooting baskets in a mall on a Saturday morning when people apparently weren't out.
Now, see, now we found out more about this than we did at yeah. the time.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Did you shoot baskets?
No, heavens no.
Oh, okay. See, I'd like to see that.
No, that's crazy. Yeah,
those are kooky things. I can't believe you guys
do those appearances.
Come on, Mike.
I'll be at later on this summer. I'm going to be at the golf store to be named later. I'll wait till the deal's finished before I do my two-hour meet and greet out of the golf store.
You are doing well.
Well, you know, when they tell you, you know, free clubs, what are you going to do?
But you play golf, and there'll be other people who play golf there, and people who listen to the show. You'll do all right.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we do select what we want to do.
That's not like me at an ESPN thing.
And you know what's nice is I can
speak. Or me in the junior miss department.
Rob with a plastic banner and a hat.
Of course, you, Don, you are not exempt from these. You've made private appearances that you've made deals on your own.
You're a bastard.
Oh, the bracelet.
You're a bastard.
Wasn't it a bracelet?
Yes.
Yeah, for a bracelet, you did a bar mitzvah.
Oh, God, and that was like within the last 3 years.
Yeah. Crime and trading on our good names, is
sure.
it?
Sure.
Yeah, you're right.
I think, actually, to be accurate, it might be within the year. I think you did it last year. Last early summer, maybe.
I don't recall. All I know is you're right, that there was a guy at the jewelry store, and it was something I wanted to buy for my wife's anniversary. It was too expensive.
Right.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you a discounted rate if you come to my kid's bar mitzvah.
And it was a hell of a deal.
And I had to sit at a table, at a card table. and have people come by and ask me if I could get them sandwiches and drinks.
Yeah, you were confused with the help, right?
Because were you wearing a tuxedo?
I was. at his request.
At his request.
We all do tricks for shiny trinkets.
And nobody, no, well, you know what? And that doesn't change.
No, that doesn't change.
I mean, no matter how many years you've been at this.
And maybe there's nothing
like,
wrong with
who
that.
Who doesn't like the swag a little bit, you know?
So listen, if someone can help me with tickets for this thing for my wife.
The White House Correspondents
you'll
Dinner.
You'll come to their home.
I'll buy them. You know what it is for me? Here's why it works. First, it'll be good for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Send her out with her tape recorder. Second, I don't have to go.
Right.
Third, I don't have to go.
Right.
Fourth, I don't have to go. And fifth, I don't have to go.
That's it.
So if you get me, hook me up with those tickets, I even pay for them. That was her whole big thing. Come on, you do a radio show. Give me some tickets for Correspondents.
You've got connections, of course.
Like a double favor.
I don't have connections. What connections do I have?
Yes. Who am I going to call?
Who am I going to call? Gary Pesh?
That's
my connection. Gary Pesh. A cigar guy.
You have a big microphone.
Well, I just said it, but I don't see the phones lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
With all the people. Oh, here they come.
Yeah, wait for the delay.
Oh, here they come.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Hello. Barry.
Got a mic?
Barry, yes. Hi, Barry.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Buzz, Rob, love you guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
I got one word for you guys.
Yeah.
Whore!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We're pretty whores.
We wear your scorn as a badge of honor.
Agreed. And let's give it up for all the whores listening right now.
All the pretty whores.
How you doing? What did you say? All the pretty whores.
We like to think of ourselves.
I'm going to say hi to all the ugly whores out there.
Amen, brother.
All the whores that got to work a little harder than their cuter sisters out there.
Whore!
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, take that out! It smells like shit.
Has this ever happened to you? You have a load of beer cans, stolen car parts, drug paraphernalia, rib bones, and tattoo needles that could sink a landfill. And a regular trash bag can't hold that crap. It'll just break.
Clean that shit up! How are we gonna sleep on the floor, huh? And who's that asshole?
You need white trash bags. They're double packed to handle the type of garbage that only white trash can dish out.
Hey, this thing weighs a ton.
I told you your grandmother died.
Hey, look, it's not ripping or dripping or nothing.
White trash bags. In one ply, two ply, and how the f*** did you get it in their ply?
The Don and Mike Show. Stay listening. The Don and Mike Show.
That's our motto for 04.
Yeah.
Stay listening. How sad is this? In the office before the show with Rob. And of course, we're discussing television like always.
Right.
I said, oh, good night tonight. Like it's something I'm planning my life around, and sadly I am.
Yeah, it's a good night tonight.
I said, yeah.
AI.
Yeah, right. Idol. 24.
You're very excited.
Yeah.
This is your best night of the week of TV.
And I went to, I'm so wrapped up on it, I went to idolonfox.com.
Sure.
Because you can hear the little American Idol song. And
that is so sad.
And,
That's so sad.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, you've not been? So you really are mocking me. I didn't know if that was one of those like sideways things where you're
no,
going to say.
No, that was correct. I have to tell you that. How was the site? Did you enjoy it?
Well, it's, Mike, it's like all websites.
Yes.
It's sparkly.
It's got bright colors.
It does. And I did learn something on the website.
What did you
learn? They were flashing the pictures of the six finalists.
Uh-huh.
And it is Latin night tonight.
Right.
But they will be singing exclusively Gloria Estefan
song. Oh, it's exclusive. So I guess we can look for John Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
To have one of those wimpy ones.
Our man.
Of course. So this is advantage, once again, like you said, advantage John Stevens with the Gloria Estefan song.
Yeah, because he's so rhythmic.
Yeah,
he's so good.
Do you conga? Mama, do you conga?
Now I have a choice for you, my friend.
Very good.
We have this website, the Kirk Cameron website that we talked about last week.
Yes.
That we've really devoted no time to. This guy that used to be on the Alan Thick Show.
Growing Pains.
Mike, you're grounded. Anyway, he's got a Jesus Freak website now.
Right.
And we also have a tape of Colonel Sanders that was given to us by a
new one?
Well, it couldn't be absolutely new because he's dead, but yeah, it's new to us.
New to us. All right.
Hi there.
Hi, Johnny.
If I can make your choice a little bit easier, I was surfing around Cox Cable yesterday and found that there's a half an hour infomercial to go along with the Kirk Cameron thing.
Oh, wow.
I got set up the tape on Thursday night. So if you want to wait on that, I can add more.
I was going to pick Colonel Sanders anyway because I love Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Well, I like Kirk Cameron, though. I mean...
But if he's got something good coming on the Kirk Cameron, we've got new Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders is one of the greatest tapes we've ever had.
But I think I only bring this to you now. We're gonna hear all of this stuff.
Okay.
The Colonel Sanders that I have is not Colonel Sanders. From the way it's been explained to me, it's not Colonel Sanders doing a commercial.
It isn't?
It simply is Colonel Sanders, the real Colonel Sanders,
yeah,
talking about how he invented Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Fascinating.
That's not funny.
Listen, I know it's funny. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
I'd love to hear it.
We have a couple of... Let me just say, we either have this...
Hi, it's me, Kirk. Welcome to the Way of the Master.
Right.
If you are a Christian, please click yes. If you're not a Christian, please click no. I have an important part of the site I want you to see.
I'm telling you, we do have to, even if we go with Colonel Sanders now,
right,
we've got to come back to Kirk Cameron.
I think we should do that.
This website is great. Here's the Colonel Sanders tape.
It's finger-licking good. That's the phrase people all over the world use to describe Kentucky Fried Chicken original recipe.
And, of course, you're going to hear, you know, the most folks, except he's speaking in his regular voice.
Okay, and he's not reading anything.
No, it's the same voice as on the commercial.
I just had chicken, which is good. Yeah, he's entirely different.
Describing how he made KFC.
The unique cooking process and the secret combination of 11 herbs and spices were developed by Colonel Harlan Sanders at his restaurant in Corbin, Kentucky. The Colonel was proud of his original recipe chicken, and he never missed a chance to tell people about it.
Years ago, when I had my own restaurant, most popular item on the menu was fried chicken. It was much better than the usual southern fried chicken that most folks were used to, because I always did cook good chicken. Folks that came to my place to eat loved it. But I wasn't satisfied.
No? Do we get this off the web or something? Is that why it sounds like he's in Star Trek?
Most folks popular chicken is really...
Well, sir, one day I was cooking chicken for some folks going on a boat ride, and I decided to try a little change in my chicken recipe to see what they'd think. So instead of using just the 10 herbs and spices I'd always used, I decided to add the 11th ingredient.
Now, are you like me? Do you think this is... He's being propped up and he's being told to read this.
No, that's the way it was presented.
I think he's faking it.
This is promotionally done.
Right. But what I'm saying is they probably wrote this for him.
Well, if that's the case, then what happened between that time and the time he's trying to do the commercial?
I'm not sure.
All right, here's John Norman. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, it's a Kentucky Fried Chicken training video. For all the new hires, so they can find out where the inspiration for the chicken came from.
Like, if you go to work for KFC today, do you have to watch this?
That I wouldn't know.
The difference is this one's edited, you know, with the mistakes are out of it now.
Yeah, it's just the final product. I bet he did a few takes on this, too. I don't know what's wrong with this.
I think the new one is probably going to have Randy Quaid, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey.
Because he does the voice of the Colonel.
It's horrible.
Right.
It's one of the worst choices in ever.
Well, the minute I tasted that chicken, I knew I'd made the best fried chicken that had ever been cooked.
Okay, now listen.
He is doing it, and they're editing it together. I think if you listen carefully, you probably know where there's an edit.
All right, let's roll a little more.
That had ever been
that
cooked.
That recipe of 11 herbs and spices makes chicken so delicious that I haven't changed it to this very day. And now it's known all over the world as Colonel Sanders' original recipe of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mm-hmm. My original recipe.
It's sentences. They just
get the impression sentences. He hates doing this stuff.
Yeah.
That they were just like, Colonel, we need it. I don't want to do this.
The chicken is special. But there's a whole lot more to it than just the 11 herbs and spices.
A whole lot more.
So you just sit a spell and let me tell you why it's so much better than what those other folks sell.
Let me just tell you that we have this. I'm still kind of partial to this one.
Hi, it's me, Kirk. Welcome to the Way of the Master.
But I also have this for you, Mike.
Okay.
The weather's getting warmer outside.
It's the first day of spring, and Granny's wamping up her tawny fur to give to all the family and her kids.
skin.
Ellie's Spring Song.
Though it tastes mighty bitter, it is good for man and critter, cause it gets your blood to running free again.
Ellie Mae, sing it.
Okay. Do I want to
just... Oh, so much.
Just a little bit of it, Mike.
Just a little taste.
just a little taste. And hold on, I'm going to give you a bonus track now.
A bonus track from the Hillbillies?
Don't know, it might be from Kirk Cameron.
Okay.
Mike, no, yeah, it's from the Hillbillies. Mike, it's a lost 45.
What a great doctor Granny is. Granny's got a cure for anything that is.
Yeah, Granny.
This is dirty.
What a great doctor Granny is.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Read between the lines there, ladies and gentlemen.
We got to go back to the KFC thing. Here's Dominique who says, well, I'll let him say it. Dominique, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. What's up, guys?
Howdy.
Hey, I used to work for KFC when I was in high school, and I had to watch that video, and it's just about the funniest thing you've ever seen, is the guy looks like he's about to fall over dead, if he's not already.
So,
and,
well, he is now.
Yeah, oh yeah, but the manager that was training me had actually never seen the video, and when he came on the screen, both of us started laughing at the same time, because he looked so bad, it wasn't even funny.
All right, thank you, Dominique.
Take care.
Thank you.
That's a great little tip in right there.
Glad we could be making memories for you.
We both started laughing.
Hey, more music.
Yeah.
What the hell is this one?
Oh, Back Home USA.
Now some folks like the city, and it may be okay.
Is that Jethro?
The place I like it.
It's Uncle Jet, I think.
Back Home USA.
No, I don't like that one's no good.
Back Home USA. Hey, we're hillbillies, but we're singing like this.
Boo on that one.
Love to sing.
Let's go back to a classic.
Oh, yeah. God. Critters on the scene.
Nah.
Critters.
What got them?
Critters in the water. Critters in the hall.
Yeah.
Critters in the back.
Granny?
What do you think?
What?
More than eight critters was asleeping in my feet.
How about that, Granny?
To begin with, I'm particular about the kind of chicken I use.
Oh.
They have to be government-inspected, grade-A broiler fryers, and they have to be fresh.
Yeah.
And then, even though those fellows at the government do good work, each chicken is inspected again, piece by piece, right there in the Kentucky Fried Chicken store.
Almost everyone thinks they're a good person.
This might be the solution.
But the question you should be asking
do all of them at the same time?
Am I good enough to go to heaven? How would you know? The way to find out is to ask yourself if you've obeyed the Ten Commandments.
When the inspections are done and the raw chicken is ready to be cooked, it's dipped in a mixture of milk and egg.
Now you're going back to Vittles.
Yeah.
Watch her cooking for Vittles, Granny. Watch her cooking for Vittles.
She's going to look in the pot pretty soon.
Hey, way to give it away.
Sorry, comes up right here.
Let me take a peek in my pot.
Now I use a milk and egg dip because it adds to the flavor of the cooked chicken, don't you see? And gives the chicken a nice golden brown color. And then, too, when you dip the chicken in milk and egg, it makes the raw chicken sticky, so the breading will have something besides skin to stick to.
Most people say, well, I've broken one or two, but nothing too serious like murder. So let's go through them and see how you do.
Okay.
The first and greatest commandment, you shall have no other gods before me.
Yes, Kirk.
Have you always put God first in your life?
Let me think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miss Hathaway... I would like to sing, too.
You too?
Yeah. And I want you to join me.
Yeah.
Me too? Yeah, Mr. Dysel. I'm going to sing a song of love.
Chief,
love.
How you doing, Chief?
I'm going to sing a song of love.
You mean platonic love, not
evident,
real
Chief.
Love.
This is real love. Just get over to that piano.
Oh, splendid.
Bend her over the piano.
Oh, I'm in love. Yes, I'm in love with money.
And after the chicken has been dipped, in milk and egg dip, I dump it right into the breading mix.
Jesus said to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So much that your love for your parents, brothers and sisters, friends, even your own life is like hatred compared to your love and devotion for God.
Wow. Wow.
Now this breading mix is not just flour. It's my special seasoned breading. To begin with, it's a high-quality flour that's been carefully blended with salt and then mixed with my secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices.
Oh, hold on.
Have you ever failed to put him first in your life?
Yes.
Click on your answer below.
We clicked on it, and this is what we got right here.
I have a sexual disease.
What a great doctor, Granny.
Oh, thank goodness.
Granny's here. She can make it better.
She's a wizard for rheumatiz. What a great doctor, Granny is. Yay!
And to make sure that you get a full flavor of those secret ingredients, I don't just dump the chicken in and push it around a bit.
No, sir.
Each piece of chicken gets this special breading folded and pressed onto it until there's a nice even coating covering the whole piece.
The second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any idol. Who is God to you? Is he only a God of love and
Ellie
mercy?
Ellie May is such a beautiful girl.
Never...
Oh. I wonder why she's not married.
She's 18. She's too old.
No, Mary May's 18 years old.
Sure. I bet all that woman I told.
When you meet the right man, you quick marry him.
Okay.
Now that your chances is slim.
Well, if that's your God, then you're right. Your God couldn't cast anyone into hell because he doesn't exist. He's a figment of your imagination.
Then I gently tap the pieces of chicken a time or two to shake off the loose breading and set them on a tray till I finish with the other pieces.
Yes.
Now, as soon as I get enough chicken breading, it's got to be cooked.
I read the commandment.
When I cook my original recipe chicken, I only use pure, all vegetable shortening.
You've created a God in your own mind that you're more comfortable with.
Yes, Kirk.
You may call it your personal belief, but God calls it idolatry.
And I never cook anything else in that shortening because I don't want you to taste anything but the delicate flavor of the chicken.
There you go.
And, of course, nothing goes better with chicken.
Well, chicken's a vittle.
Watch your cooking for vittles, Granny.
And a critter.
Watch your cooking
for vittles, Granny.
It's in her pot, right?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Better take a look at her pot.
Let me take a peek in my pot.
You take a peek in my pot.
Okay. You know, we didn't get anywhere with that.
I loved every minute of it.
Tomorrow, maybe we'll devote time to both websites.
I like to call that feature 10 Commandments, 11 Herbs, and 12 Great Songs.
And Bill O'Reilly?
I am so boring.
Right. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Father. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What do you think, Arnold?
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
They are entertaining always. Don and Mike.
Right, right.
Hello.
Hi there. Listen, let me see. Every day this week, except for yesterday and today, we'll be giving away a trip. No, actually, we have a week's worth of trips that we're going to cram into the next 3 days.
Very exciting.
We're giving away trips for two to Los Angeles to attend the 2004 Taurus World Stunt Awards. Trip includes 2 nights, 3 days hotel, and then passes to see the show live at Paramount Studios Hollywood. It'll be on TNT, hosted by Dennis Hopper, Wednesday, May 26th, 9 on Spike TV, the first network for men.
I never thought of Dennis Hopper as a guy that did his own stunts, but maybe he did, or just, he likes them. Or
I think he's like us. He's a whore. He needs the gig.
Yeah, needs the bucks.
Right. Yeah. He needs some FaceTime on TV. And Dennis Murphy will be out there as the representative from the Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play games on the show every day this week, except yesterday and today.
He, too, Dennis Murphy, an obvious whore. Does his own stunts.
To give away the Los Angeles trips. Oh, and we did a game yesterday. We should have done this yesterday. Chief.
Chief.
Forgot about that, Chief. Tomorrow on the show, we are getting bogged down in American Idol.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Of course.
And Buzz, I know it upsets you because you don't watch the show.
I don't care.
You're not into the phenomenon, but we are.
Right.
And tomorrow we will debut our brand new Clay Aiken bit for you as well.
Fantastic. I think you'll enjoy it.
That's always good.
Let's see. Oh, and Judah Jew coming up on today's show.
Very exciting.
That's next, right? Yeah, the Jew to Jew is next.
That's next.
Well, then, let me tell you this. That, oh, and Mike, did you get a look at the guy that Michael Jackson hired?
No, I have not seen the guy.
The guy who, I described the hair yesterday as Captain Kangaroo meets Ben Franklin.
Right.
And really, it's
just the new guy or the guy that quit?
The guy that Michael Jackson just hired that was with Robert Blake.
The goofy guy.
Right. His name...
Champion of lost causes.
His name has come up in the Robert Blake trial only because he was Michael Jackson. He was Robert Blake's attorney.
Right. Yeah, he's that guy that I might not like the hair, but I'll tell you right now, I sure like that haircut real bad.
Here is one that is... I've not heard this angle anywhere before. Prosecutors, now they're arguing against Robert Blake.
Okay, this is the Robert Blake trial.
Right. Prosecutors argued they should be allowed to interview an ex-PI that Robert Blake had in his employ for many years.
Columbo.
Because...
he was a detective. I'm sorry, he wasn't a PI.
Because the guy is 71... And they're afraid that the trial's dragging on.
He'll die.
That he's going to die.
He's in poor health.
Well, no, he's not in. He's not in poor health.
Well, he's Larry King's age.
The judge said, "Let's see. Since the Blake trial is coming up relatively soon, prosecutors must wait to quiz this private eye who's going to give Robert Blake some type of alibi."
I'm
going to
tell you right now, brother. If you don't get over to his house as soon as he'll be dead as a doornail. Come on now. Really, make it work for me. Don't screw me by letting the guy die before the trial.
And the judge is great because the judge says to Robert Blake and whoever his attorney is now, says, I'm going to demonstrate great faith in the outer reaches of human endurance, and I think he'll be able to live through the end of this trial. So that's what Robert Blake is up to now.
So there's no real health issue with the guy.
No.
He's 71, and they're saying, oh, he could die if we don't get it.
Yeah, because that's what the new lawyer says.
I got news for you, Judge. He's a heavy smoker.
And Nicolas Cage is crazy always.
Yeah, he is. What's he done now?
I like Nicolas Cage. He's even good in that ridiculous ADD movie.
Right.
Adaptation.
Adaptation.
Right. He's good in that. He wasn't in that. It was Matchstick Men was the ADD movie that he did.
I never saw Matchstick
Men. I know he was in Adaptation too. Right. He's in all the ADD movies.
I never saw Matchstick Men.
He's nuts. He married Lisa Marie Presley. And now Nicolas Cage has found his third bride.
Hmm.
She's 19.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Alice. And he met her 6 weeks ago while having dinner at L.A.'s Sushi Avenue, where she is a waitress.
Really?
What could go wrong?
He went out for sushi with some men friends on Valentine's Day.
Well, how old is Nicolas Cage?
He's 40.
40, yeah.
He's 40.
No big deal.
Nicolas Cage has some sake. Let me see. He started to date this girl. Things are going so well. And why is it guys like this, they can't meet a girl and just have sex with her and date her and buy her stuff?
Right.
A guy like Nicolas Cage...
What, he's getting married to her?
Yes. Yes, he's proposed to her.
How long has he seen her?
Six weeks. She's 19. She was a waitress in the sushi place. He said, "You're pretty cute. Sit down and have a meal."
Wasn't he married to Patricia Arquette?
He was married to Patricia Arquette.
He was married to Lisa Marie Presley.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think there's one other in there that he's
That can be undone.
No, it said it'll be his third wife. Third bride. Let me see.
What is he, nuts?
Mike, come on.
No, I'm not getting married. I mean, I think he's crazy for that. Of the 6 weeks, it's nuts. I mean that sincerely.
I love that about Nicolas Cage, though. There's just something not right about
him. You need people like that in the world. People that, you know, just follow their heart
mm-hmm.
and do
You didn't see Matchstick Men? Because you're doing the twitch right there.
I was doing
Matchstick Men,
yeah.
He does do the twitch.
Does he really?
All the time. And you know the guy?
I love his movies. He yeah. makes great choices.
Quirky, yeah. You know who's good in that movie? Do you remember the Chuck... Do you ever see the Chuck Barris movie? The one that Clooney directed, the one about Chuck Barris?
I did not. No.
Okay. Of a Dangerous Mind.
The guy who played... what's his name? Chuck Barris? Uh-huh.
Right.
He's in this movie, Matchstick Men.
Okay.
With Nicolas Cage.
Sam Rockwell.
Ah. And Nicolas Cage, all his pills go down the drain one day by accident, his ADD pills, and he goes out to con men. They go out to con these people, and the people that they've set up, they're in their house, and they open up the blinds, and as soon as the sunlight hits Nicolas Cage, he starts doing this twitching thing that you know it's like he's a good actor, but
right.
you know, there's a part of him that really is always like twitching like that.
You know the weird thing about Nicolas Cage?
He's like a good-looking... more talented Tom Arnold. He has the same mannerisms, the same body, the same frantic way of tapping his feet.
And I always, you always have to remember that Nicolas Cage is somehow connected to the Coppolas, right? He's a cousin,
right?
Of Francis Ford Coppola. He's related to Sophia Coppola, right?
Yeah. All right,
nephew. That's right, nephew.
Here's a question for you about Rebecca Romijn Stamos. Now this is,
and incidentally, shouldn't she be calling herself Rebecca Romijn?
No, she wants to be Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Oh, now she's very bad.
Well, I read
very bad move.
I read somewhere that it's a good move because even though she's divorcing Blackie Parra,
yeah.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos. Where did I read this? Was it? God, I'm going to sound like a faggot, but I read it in Vanity Fair.
Oh, I love Vanity Fair. It's a good magazine.
No, that's
a good
magazine. Like Farrah Fawcett Majors,
right? Right.
That some
prenamed people
says
have legs.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos
right.
is sure. a lot better than Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
Really? So she's going to keep Stamos.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos, Philip Michael Thomas, John Peter Lewis.
She's got yeah. JPL.
JPL.
She's going to keep the name. However,
Michael Scott Shannon.
Hello. However, who would have guessed this? I believe this story, which is in the gossip page of some tabloid somewhere, but I believe it about John Stamos because I'm going to bring up a name from the past on this show.
Okay.
Do you remember Charlie Stossel?
Oh, I do.
The effeminate.
How could I forget?
The effeminate Boy Scout loving movie reviewer that we had on the show for a couple of years.
How do you mean that? Yes, wonderful lad.
Okay, you remember what happened with his marriage?
Mm-hmm.
That he was married for a while.
Right.
And then his wife decided
to leave him for another woman.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, John Stamos has had the same effect on Rebecca Romijn.
Oh, well, okay.
Now they say...
No more.
They say... Now I have your attention, bud.
Rebecca Romijn Hache.
Okay. You know the place where John Belushi was found dead, Chateau Marmont?
Yes, very popular still among celebrities.
Sunset Strip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rebecca Romijn Stamos was there with two girls, spent the weekend with them, frolicked, petted with them, kissed them on the lips three times, each time a little longer, and let me just say... she let her fingers do the walking.
Really?
Wow. Yes, out by the...
So somebody observed this.
Out by the pool.
God bless her.
Let me see. And so they follow up on this. Now, this is
Rebecca
great...
Rebecca Romijn Daly.
This is the great thing. I mean, David Dine Daly.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you know the guy that was on The Sopranos the other night?
Rebecca Romijn DeGeneres.
Do you know the guy that was on The Sopranos that was Christopher's drug guy?
Yeah.
That's Tyne Daly's brother, right? That's the guy that was on Wings.
He was on Wings, right?
Oh,
right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let me see.
Have they whacked him yet?
No.
No, he's still living.
Yeah. They beat the crap out of him.
Right. Exactly.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos told the gay magazine The Advocate, "quote In my early 20s, I always wondered if I was interested in women."
Sure.
And here's the end of the quote: "I have done my homework."
Really?
So you might want to jot that one, not chop.
Jot that one down and file it away. I certainly...
Put her on that side of the room.
I enjoy the imagery.
Yes. Put her on that side of the room.
You know, maybe we'll see it surfacing in some of her films. One can only hope.
We love to see that.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton, has anybody bought the videotape yet? I mean, we've all got it on the computers. But
I saw one on the computer, but I haven't purchased it.
The videotape is out, and this is actually pretty good that people got worked up. Remember, CBS wanted to do that Beverly Hillbillies show, and all of the hicks and the rednecks. Oh, right, thanks, Rob.
Ellie Mae. Oh, Ellie Mae.
Yeah, Miss Jane.
It's time for your lady lessons.
Lady lessons? Well, doggies, Ellie, you're gonna be a lady.
Now, dear, pay strict attention. Here's your lesson. How to be a lady.
It's agonizing.
That's funny. Miss Drysdale teaching Ellie Mae how to be a lady.
That is
Ellie Mae.
Miss Drysdale, bright
mother, chief.
Took her clothes off. She had, like, Mr. Drysdale stuff down there. I understand what I'm saying.
I think I'd like to see Mrs. Jane Drysdale.
Jane Hathaway.
Jane Hathaway. I'd like to see her on the Swan.
So,
you know what I mean.
They were upset. They used to put her in a Boy Scout uniform always, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, chief, mother. Chief, I'm taking Jethro out for a day with the scouts.
That's right, Miss Hathaway.
Hey, very
Miss Hathaway.
CBS got all the necks upset when they were going to do the Appalachian version.
They got representatives of the necks upset.
The Beverly Hillbillies. Right. CBS decided not to go with this. However,
damn it.
Now NBC has a similar concept.
Good.
And, you know, there's so many reality shows that are out there now.
Sure.
This one involves Paris Hilton.
Incidentally, I have to say, great reveal on the Swan last night.
The girl that was ugly?
The best one. It's not that the girl was so incredibly ugly. It was just the biggest transformation I've ever seen. On any makeover show ever was this one girl, this blonde girl that they did. They fixed her like she had the horse gums, you know, and it just was, I had trouble recognizing her. I thought they used a different person.
I'm so not into that show. You're such a fag hag for liking that show.
I am.
I mean, Frida watches that show a lot. We had an argument about that show last night. She said, please come watch The Swan with me. I watch CSI with you. I said, I'm not watching.
Oh, you've got to watch The Swan.
Why, Mike?
Last night they put horns on her forehead. It was so cool.
It was a great reveal. But I did manage, our path did cross when Frida said, stop right here. It's the reveal for the girl that's not going to believe how great she looks.
Great, The Swan and then the restaurant. Very, very exciting.
Anyway,
Rocco.
NBC has hired Paris Hilton's mom and dad, Richard Hilton and Kathy Hilton. Now, wouldn't you think these people have a little more class?
I would think that they've got more money than Jesus, so they don't need to worry about anything.
In this NBC show, Richard and Kathy Hilton, who live at the Waldorf Hotel in New York, will continue to live there. And they will move in a redneck family from Arkansas to live with them in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York.
I love it.
Now you tell me,
I truly love it. You tell me
that that just ain't a smash all the way. Let me see. California cops want spider guns. Do you care about this?
You mean spider guns where they can, like, throw a net over somebody?
Yeah, I'm not for this.
you mean you're not for the non-lethal force?
No, because anytime, you know, I've often thought that when there's a jumper either on the Wilson Bridge here in D.C. or any of the other bridges that we broadcast to the cities that we broadcast in San Francisco, you get some nut up on the Bay Bridge. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing? You get a guy up there, and it's always a guy that's up there. It's threatening to take his life because they things are going so bad for him. But what he's doing, or she, or always he, they're tying up the people that have jobs, the people that have to use these roads
trying
to get
home. Yeah, and a lot of those people probably are thinking about suicide, too. They're just not out of the car.
Walking traffic.
So, you know, Mike, this is a great way to get those people not to think. Let them think about what really happens with suicide. You got a guy up on the bridge who says he's going to jump. You say, okay. You got the big megaphone. You go, hey, up there. This is Captain Don.
Donnie.
D-O-N-I.
Right.
I'm going to give you a 5 to jump. Let's see if you're serious. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you didn't come down. You want to come down? All right, boys. Take him out. And then rapid gunfire. Guy falls in the river. Traffic starts to move again. I don't want spider guns. Here's what a spider gun
is. You'd like it if it was a real web.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
It was like one of these things where they like surround the guy with a
weapon. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
That's right, Spider-Man.
No, what they have it's a gun that captures jumpers in a... Now, they're trying to sell me on it. It says a spider-like web.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a rope.
It's a net.
It's not a spider gun.
But you see, I think you'd like it, too, because it's kind of like a variation of a butterfly net.
But still, those guys up there, those are people that really, really piss me off, the people that screw up with people commuting
home. But if they use the net, then you don't have to have that pesky, time-consuming negotiation.
Yeah,
you just walk up and,
but Mike,
pow, you put the net on the guy.
But no, see, in my world, though, here's the negotiation.
He just doesn't die.
I told you.
Hello, it's Captain Donnie. Do you really want to jump? Okay. I'll give you the five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
Okay, come down. No? All right. Aim. Fire.
Well, yeah, you're repeating what you just said before because you really want to kill the guy.
What if the cops had...
No, you give the guy, you say to the guy...
Well, you gave him a chance.
You say, you really want to jump?
If you were really leading that team, it would be,
hey, okay, you really want to jump? All right, I'm going to count to 5. 1. Fire.
Five.
Bam.
What if they were issued spider guns and utility belts?
Okay, not fun. Okay, why don't you go with your Elvis collection? Why don't you go dress your son in an Elvis suit, and then we can talk about my love for Spider-Man. Yeah, man. What?
Then we'll talk.
Then we can talk.
Well, I think anything, Don, that preserves the sanctity of human life is okay with me.
God, kill all of them.
Sort them out.
Kill them all.
You don't mean
Mike, there's a chance. Yes, I do, Buzz. There's a chance for you. Halle Berry has filed for divorce from this newest guy that she's in love with.
Right. Oh, really?
Whoever this guy is, Eric Benet.
Wow.
Don't know much about him.
Good looking guy, though.
I tell you what, though. It's a shame about his sister.
Yeah, I know. John.
John.
Yeah. John.
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 John. John Benet.
John. J-O-H-N.
God.
Not fun.
Oh,
not fun. Come on, that's not funny.
Not funny at all. Stop. No, please, stop it. We don't need the band. You put your instruments away. There's no party here.
Mike, they're just happy that Halle Berry has filed for divorce.
Isn't that great news? She's on the market. I really do believe. I've been seeing some of those advanced stills from Catwoman. I think she is just the hottest right now.
Yeah.
I used to think it was Charlize Theron. Now I think it's still Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little John.
Me feel good.
And finally, this last thing that I've selected is Spotlight on Baltimore.
Yes. Oh, good.
Spotlight on one of our favorite cities, Charm City. Right on. Spotlight on Baltimore.
That's a nice thing you're doing for that city.
And our affiliate, Live 105.3.
Hello, Live 105 in Ballmer.
Now, this does not have to do with Baltimore directly, but you can understand why I've selected this for you today. Mike, do you know anything about mutant gonorrhea?
Oh, do I?
I mean, outside of your own personal experience.
Well, how could you know anything more than my own personal experience? And he gave it to me.
mutant gonorrhea has made promiscuity a lot tougher. 1 in 7 cases of gonorrhea have a new, harder-to-beat mutation, and now it's gotten worse. The Center for Disease Control is going to announce today that common treatments of gonorrhea no longer work.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is a test of the emergency gonorrhea system in Baltimore. Rob, I'm afraid we're going to need some reverb here. We're going to need some reverb. Mike and I are going to have to make a message to our Baltimore listeners.
Please activate the EGS.
Stand by for an important announcement.
Tape 2,
are we ready?
Yeah.
Stand.
Nope, hold on, I don't hear anything.
Stand. Stand by.
Tape 2.
I got tape 2 all the way up. Look at, see, tape 2. I'm hearing like Kong Gong Bong Gang.
I hear Vietnamese radio.
Yes.
One more time?
Let me try one more time.
Done.
Oh, there it is. Got it.
Perfect.
Hey.
What, Buzz?
I said perfect.
Perfect.
Buzz, if you would now start the emergency gonorrhea system by announcing to Baltimore that it's a test. This is not a test.
This is not a test. Attention, Baltimore. This is an activation of the emergency gonorrhea system. This is not a test.
How you doing out there?
Hello! For all those of you in Balmer that might have contracted that nasty gonorrhea.
Listen, the clap is mutated.
You can't cure it no more.
And that means your antibiotics are no good.
Going, gonorrhea.
You'll have to deal with the shots now. But remember, Johnny Unitas up in heaven is looking at you and saying, I love Baltimore.
And also remember, Cal would never get gonorrhea.
And I don't want to say anything about Marty Bass from Eyewitness News Channel 13 while we're mentioning gonorrhea in Baltimore.
Hope you enjoyed this warning, Baltimore. It's a mutant strain of gonorrhea.
Brooks Robinson never had smelly discharge.
No, not
why
a
should you?
Going gonorrhea.
Baltimore again. The news is the Disease Control and Prevention Center announces common treatments for gonorrhea no longer work.
Sorry to give you the bad news, but you still got the Bromo Seltzer Tower, the Inner Harbor, and Craft Cakes.
More information can be found on the topical and timely Brian and O'Brien show.
Thank you!
Don't forget, traffic on the 15th.
Give that man a contract.
Buzz, this was not a test. This is an activation of the emergency gonorrhea system for Baltimore.
Thank you.
We now return you. Your local programming.
Baltimore, well.
Mutant gonorrhea.
That's Baltimore. Hold on, here is Eric with news for you, Mike, about Halle Berry. Eric.
Come on, Mike, buddy.
Hey, my friend, Eric, you're on the air.
Listen, Halle Berry is divorcing her husband because she caught him in the house with two women at the same time wearing Halle Berry's lingerie.
Oh, that's bad.
So hold on.
That's a little added detail. So Halle Berry walked in on her hubby, and he was with two women, and they were wearing her underwear.
Stuff?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Oh, that's bad. But you don't remember this, though. Even with Halle Berry,
mm-hmm. right?
Even with a beautiful woman like that, and who is like my most beautiful? Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Is my dream girl.
Right.
You got to think, if I was with Jennifer Aniston, after, and I really love her. I look at a picture of her every day.
Yeah, well,
every day in
it's
front
that,
of
it's that unattainable quality.
Mm-hmm. But I think,
buddy.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm going to make a very salient point here. I think if I was with Jennifer Aniston, I would get sick of her in under a week.
Under a week?
I mean, if I was just, I'm not talking about like taking her out to dinner and all that. I'm just saying.
I mean, the burn factor as far as having sex?
Yes, I think so.
Are you sure? I think you can't find that.
Very hard.
Not under it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can understand that there would be a burn factor.
Right, maybe a month.
No matter how beautiful the woman.
Maybe a month. Maybe a month.
Really?
I think so.
Would that speak to any relationship you've ever been in?
Now you put me in a pretty pickle. Certainly not the relationship I'm in now. It's certainly not my long-term 23-year marriage.
You really think Jennifer Aniston and you'd be bored within a month?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, you'd probably be like you'd want dessert first.
Yeah.
Every night. And you just go crazy and then just be exhausted and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Taking a few years just to explore every possibility.
Buzz. Listen to Casanova.
That's the difference between you and me. You're over there thinking about her pleasure. I'm thinking about my pleasure.
Hers, mine, everyone's.
But, you know, no matter who it is, like if it's Halle
Berry. No matter how pretty the woman.
Eventually. You know, unless
it's a terrible saying that said that I've heard guys say.
Say it. Go
no
ahead.
No matter how beautiful the woman, there's some guy that's tired of.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Tired of her.
That's a terrible thing to say. A horrible thing to say.
It's true though. Mm-hmm. It's just true. Which is why our wives should be so glad that we've stayed with them.
Look at our dedication.
Look at our dedication.
Is she? You know what? She's working right now, isn't she?
Yeah.
She can't hear them.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, you're killing
you're
me.
You're damn straight. I wouldn't say this if she was listening to the radio.
Wow.
Anyway, hello.
Yeah, I want to ask Mike a question.
Ax him.
Ax away.
Mike, can you make an appearance at the park this weekend? I'm training my, showing my five-year-old how to ride a bike without training wheels.
Oh, that's a nice thing to say. That's the nicest thing that's been said to me all week.
Be a good appearance.
Yeah, I'll be there, sir. You can count on it. I'm an expert in that.
Won't you be a pickle park?
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for soiling my special moment with the listeners.
Okay.
Hey, it wasn't pickle park you were saying, was it?
Yes, pickle park.
Yes. Is that what he said?
No, he didn't say pickle park.
You said pickle park.
I said pickle. You don't even know. You on the, what's your name? Eric? You don't even know what pickle park is, do you?
Yes, I do.
What is
it? I'll tell you off air. I can't tell you why, though.
Well, hold on. What did you just say, Eric?
What does that mean?
Well, where are you calling from, Eric?
I'm in Baltimore right now, but I'm from D.C.
Listen, D.C. Okay. If you're in Baltimore, be very careful. There's no cure for gonorrhea
it's
anymore.
It's mutant gonorrhea, Don.
And Baltimore is...
President of yours got all the traffic tied up down here, God damn it.
All right, yeah, all right. Okay.
I got some irony for you. Listen, real quick, Don.
Yes?
Yeah, worrying about what you guys are saying on the radio, but yeah, I look at MTV and look at some of these reality shows where they're showing.
Hey, dude, take it to another show. We're doing our show right now.
Absolutely,
know?
Things are going very well. We're very happy.
You're absolutely right, Don.
Thank you.
Eject, goddammit, eject.
Eject. Okay. That's the eject guy.
Eject, goddammit.
That was ladies' man.
Yes.
But we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What is this, a delegation?
We just came down here to get you away from that radio.
That's right, Herman. It's caused us nothing but trouble.
Don't worry. I'm just trying to get some music so I can relax. Will you listen to that?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yeah, I got a new record today. Is it okay if I play it on the phonograph?
Well, of course, Eddie. I think it's very nice for a young boy to be interested in music.
Not yet available on DVD. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, we're almost up to Chew to Chew. They haven't done this for a long time. Let's call. Wasn't there a rabbi that called? Before we do this, let's call Alan Linewater, our general manager.
Uh-huh.
Didn't we have a rabbi on the show last week saying Alan was a bad Jew?
Yes.
From Baltimore.
We want to see if he got the message.
He's called a couple of times. Apparently likes the show.
We could also ask Alan about the ratings party he's planning for tomorrow night.
Alan,
Don and Mike.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Alan.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations? Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, congratulations, guys.
On what? On the...
On what?
On great ratings.
Oh. Yes, right. We've forgotten about that.
I know, it's not like the old days, confetti, balloons.
I know.
Right. Cash.
I know, cash.
But, Alan, we understand that you're having a party tomorrow night.
Yeah, we are. We're going to have a little party. We just decided.
Don't have it at the place Cam was talking about. Have it at the other place.
We're going to have an ice cream party outside. I
just wanted to send a code message to Alan. Alan, have it at the place that's in between the radio station and that place you were going to have it at.
Mike has...
Oh, really?
Mike has a very strong feeling about where he'd like the party to be, and I go with Mike on this one.
Yeah. And would this be where we've had it before?
Yeah. Where we always have our party.
Okay, you didn't like where it was last time.
What do you mean?
Who didn't? That I didn't?
Yeah, did you?
I don't know. No, we like the place that we always go. It's good karma, good energy in that place.
Okay.
But what, Buzz, your microphone's open?
No, yeah, it's open. I just meant the one...
Yeah, the one that's close. Yeah. It's within walking distance.
Down the street.
I'm with you. I'm not that... I catch on.
And the other place, tough parking.
Okay, so that would be your vote.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get a message to Cameron, so I thought I'd give it to you.
Okay, that's good. I'll let everybody know. I'll let the fun committee know.
Alan, hold on. As long as you're on the line. Dave, did you get that message we left you the other day from the rabbi? You know what? He's just called in again now.
Oh, good.
Hey, Rabbi.
Yes, hello, guys. How are you?
Hello, Rabbi.
It's the rabbi from Baltimore. Yeah. And it's Alan Linewood on the phone.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Rabbi.
Hey. Alan.
Yes, sir.
You've been bad. We're taking away...
I haven't had any bacon,
card.
Rabbi.
What's that?
I've had no bacon.
Okay, well, you got 1 point there. I'm sorry to tell you that the DJs are still winning.
The DJs are still winning.
No, we're not.
No.
No, we're not.
No way.
Right, get out of here, Rabbi. You're killing me.
Point of view, I guess.
All right, Alan, it's not, what is this? Rob just wrote down a quote. In the words of Alan, it's not like the old days. Did he just say that?
Yes, he did.
He just said that moments ago.
That's a nice quote.
And I think truer words never spoken, Alan.
Wait, I said that?
Yeah.
Rob, you would make a great biographer.
Yeah. Beginning of the call.
Yeah, you said it's not like the old days.
You said no balloons, no confetti, no cash. It's not like the old days.
Not like the old days when we used to get that stuff. That is true, Alan.
Remember those old days?
Who said that?
That was Rob. All right. We'll see you at the party. Anyway, talk to Mike about the party. We're up for the party. We're going to be party animals.
Yeah. Good. Well, it wouldn't be a party without you. Seriously.
Well,
you guys did incredibly well in the ratings.
Without us and Ron and Fez, who else are you going to have there? Is Howard flying down for the party? Is Bill O'Reilly flying down for the party?
My invites are going out tonight.
Good. That's delight. Good.
All right. Goodbye.
Sporting News Radio.
Kicking.
Pardon me?
The station is kicking.
Yeah, we're very happy about that.
Thanks. Right on. Right on.
It'll be a big celebration.
It will. Okay. I know this is all a joke. You're not.
No, we'll be there.
Of course we're going to be there.
All right,
I wouldn't be if I wasn't going to be there. I wouldn't be saying I want to have it at the other joint.
No, you're probably going to say that, and then you four are going to party at the other place.
No, we're
not.
That's
horrible.
I promise, we're going to your party.
All right.
Well, horrible thing.
All right.
To say.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You get excited. You got to calm down.
Rob really got a thing going with Alan.
Oh, he does.
Hello.
God, they love each other.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. We have a listener from the book who's calling us already. This shouldn't be right.
How's it going, guys?
Are you violating the band?
Is this 000000001?
I was really just testing out the phone number.
I'm sorry.
All right, the book. He's the first person in the book, and he is not welcome
here. He's in the book, and Joe found him because he's in the book.
That's fantastic.
All right, so we're set with Alan for the station party tomorrow night.
Very good.
And I hope Alan has the radio on at his office.
Good.
Because it was so nice of the rabbi from Baltimore to call in.
It was very, very nice, except for that winning part.
It's perfect time because it's time for another edition of Jew to Jew. Let's see. Here's the setup this time. We're calling a humor consultant, Malcolm Kushner, who compiles an annual cost of laughing index.
Very good.
So, Robbie, we've been given the okay to just call this guy direct on the air. So we'll call him, and then Buzz, as soon as the guy says hello, you can tell him that, you know, you're Buzz and the announcer, and then get him all set.
Okay.
Here we go. Hold on. Let me...
Dr. Donald Goldstein and...
Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Got it. It's been a while.
Jew to Jew. It's back. Okay, here we go. Let me do this. Oh.
Good afternoon.
Buzz. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Buzz calling from Jew to Jew with the Westwood One Radio Network. I was wondering if you're ready to go on the air with us.
Absolutely.
Very good. Very good. Thanks for joining us. Hang on. Our host will be with you in just a moment.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll start the show.
All right.
Now, Buzz,
stand by.
You're on the air.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Jew to Jew with your hosts, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Now, here are the hosts of Jew to Jew.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Thank you, Michael, and good afternoon. This is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. We're very pleased to have you back again, and we've got a fascinating subject today, talking about the humor index, the cost of laughing, actually.
We're on the phone with Malcolm Kushner. Malcolm, tell me something. I see here in the report that we have in your cost of laughing index. Oh, and welcome to Jew to Jew.
Welcome, Malcolm.
Oh, thank you.
Everything costs more. You say that a rubber chicken is up $3.
I got $3 a dozen. Those are the wholesale prices. God knows what it is retail.
That's amazing that the cost would have risen that much. I see you've got the cost of so many different things. The thing I want to focus on, if I may, you have the cost of a 30-minute sitcom script has increased from $13,718.
Let me get that. It's 13718
to $14,061. How did you come about those figures?
That is roughly just under $300. It's $200. My math.
That doesn't seem all that.
Where's my calculator? It's like $290.
Of course, it is
61 cents.
You mean how much it went up?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the inflation there?
Went up $343. I got that from, that's the Writers Guild minimum fee for writing a half-hour TV sitcom. You can call up the writers.
What about a singing telegram? I understand the price on that has gone up.
$95 to $105.
Oy vey.
Oh, that's...
Pink Gorilla and Dancing Chicken telegrams. It's an outrage.
Mr. Kushner, do you feel that this would indicate in some way that we're becoming less funny as a country?
No, but I just think it means we're going to be turning to more to free sources of humor, which fortunately it's an election year, so there's, you know, just watch C-SPAN.
Let me ask you something, sir.
That's not funny.
I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. We're talking about the cost of the laughing index.
Let me ask you, Mr. Kushner, what about an ounce of disappearing ink? One of my favorites. I've used it on my friend, Mr. Goodman Esquire, many times.
I didn't consider it to be tremendously funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was a trick. I don't think that's comedy. That's magic.
That's funny.
There's a difference between... Mr. Kushner, don't you feel that there's a big difference between magic and comedy?
Well, there's an overlap. I don't know. Now, if you used it on your clients as an attorney, now that would be funny.
And I have, can I tell you, it's Dr. Goldstein.
I would never do that, I must tell you, because I take my practice very seriously.
Dr. Goldstein.
I stopped practicing law 20-something years ago to become a human.
Good for you. Good for you.
I don't think it's necessary to champion a man because he's left one of the greatest professions in the world.
Your mother, God rest her soul.
No, I didn't leave humor consulting. I left law. No, I'm talking
about you. Funny man.
Is your mother still with us, God rest her soul?
No.
If she was with us, why would you say God rest her soul?
Because I knew she wasn't.
Oh, you did.
And I was just trying to soften it up for Mr. Kushner by saying, then make her happy as she watches you from the great beyond. You've been a lawyer. Let's face it. That's not the way you want your mama to remember you. Be like me. Become a doctor.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
Become a doctor.
Of course, we're going to go down this highway as far as what's a better profession.
My wife's a doctor.
There you are.
That's the match. I'm sure she's a pediatrician. I admit it.
But Dr. Goldstein, does that make you happy that his wife is a doctor?
No. And when I say doctor, I use the term loosely. I specialize in makeovers.
I understand.
I am a consultant to the Fox television show, The Sworn.
I know you are.
And I think that you, my friend, need to get out of the lawyer business, and you need to get out of this. What is this ridiculous piece of public relations you sent us today? That a dancing chicken has gone from $95 to $105.
Why are you attacking him? Are you attacking him? Because I know why you're being hard on him. You're being hard on him because he was a former lawyer. I'd like to ask him a serious question about this press release.
May I ask if he's a failed lawyer?
Are you a failed lawyer, Mr. Kushner?
Oh, absolutely not. I could send $300 to Sacramento, and I'll be practicing tomorrow.
Very good. May we get back to the...
Not a real lawyer, then.
May I ask a question that's germane to the topic that we're talking about?
Yes, you may, I guess. I'm thinking about... May I ask your mother's first name?
Pauline.
I'm thinking about Pauline, and I'm thinking now, she looks down. Wouldn't she be happy if Malcolm finally fulfilled her dream?
Of being a doctor?
And became a doctor.
I will not go down this road with you, and I won't argue with you.
He's on a radio show.
He's a funny...
Talking about the price of rubber chickens.
Well, I'd like to ask about fake dog poo made of perhaps rubber or maybe latex. What say you?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it's made of, the price didn't go up.
The price didn't go up, so that's good.
So that would indicate that perhaps the cost is not increasing or so?
Absolutely.
Malcolm?
did you ever consider being a doctor?
Why are you beating this drum? I don't understand why you insist on harping on the fact that he's an attorney and not a doctor like you. You're not an attorney. That's fine. But it just seems to me...
Thank you for saying that.
Every week on Jew to Jew, when we have this show, we seem to go down this highway, this terrible discussion about which is better. And I'm tired
because you know
it.
Which is better.
Extraordinary.
You know
which is better. I really do.
I'm going to say something now. Attorney.
Yes.
Mr. Esquire.
Why don't you simply call me counselor?
Whether it be Jew or Gentile.
Right.
I think any mother listening right now
would prefer a doctor over a lawyer.
Absolutely.
And may I dig my heels in and say I could not possibly disagree more.
I find my profession to be free of many of the foibles.
And that's that the
you,
word.
Your compatriots,
that's the word that I try to avoid in my profession. You just said the F word.
May I?
You just said the
I
F
did
word.
No such thing.
You said free.
Free and foible.
It's free.
May I ask Malcolm?
You'll find
question?
That nowhere in my practice. If you want the implants, if you want the Botox, I'm telling you,
if you
it's
want
not
a return
cheap.
Trip to the surgeon's table to undo the
that is alleged
to undo what has been done.
That is alleged, and that is actionable.
Well, I understand it's actionable. I would be the judge of that. Don't you agree? Would we not?
Being
would I
you
tell you how to hold your scalpel?
Being as you are my lawyer.
Of course. Malcolm,
being as you are my lawyer.
I apologize. Malcolm, may I ask you another question?
Sure.
A can of salted nuts that, when open, reveals a spring-loaded snake.
Oh, that's crazy.
What,
I love
what
that.
Would the cost yeah. be of that? Would that have gone up?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have that. That's not one of the...
A joy buzzer. How about a joy buzzer? The electronic thing, which is really not electronic. It whines and it gives you a serious vibration, a shock.
What, yeah,
would that
or how about this? How about
how many novelties have you researched in your comedy index?
Well, the index is 16 leading humor indicators. Three of them are the wholesale price of novelties. Rubber.
What about the flower that you put in the lapel of your medical coat as you're walking around doing your rounds at the hospital in the morning, and everybody's saying, hello, Dr. Goldstein. Hello, Dr. Goldstein.
Now you've made me laugh.
And then someone
now
says,
you have succeeded in making me laugh.
Someone says, that's a wonderful flower in the collar, and I say, smell it, and then I press a little thing in my pocket, and it squirts water.
Has that gone up?
How much for that?
I don't know. That's not in the index.
Chewing gum that allows your teeth to blacken, Malcolm, what about that?
Actually, these days, I don't know if that's a novelty.
Malcolm, what about stink bombs?
Yes, I love those. That make the whole room smell like eggs?
But they have to be kosher.
Yes, of course.
Must be a kosher stink bomb.
Yes, yes. We don't want a non-kosher stink bomb.
Malcolm?
Yes.
What is the product among all of the things on your giggle index? What is? Am I reading?
Cost of laughing
index. You'll have to excuse
Dr.
me.
Dr. Goldstein.
You will have to excuse me that I'm used to reading medical charts. Yes. I'm not used to coming in here and reading this PR that they put on this show. When are we going to get a quality Jew on this show? No offense to our guest. I'm a doctor.
You're not going to be satisfied until Steven Spielberg walks into the studio, and I'm telling you it's not going to happen.
And I'm telling you, he's okay, but you know what would make that better?
What?
It was Dr. Steven Spielberg.
Oh, my God. This is really, this is totally unrelated to what we're talking about. What about my father's favorite gag?
Hey, how many of you guys been on the air? Can I ask you, because this is a real show and people actually listen to
this? Have you ever heard of my father's favorite gag, Malcolm?
I don't know.
What is it?
Exploding Kugel?
No.
The exploding Kugel is a great one.
I've just seen the real ones.
Really? The really exploding Kugels. How long have we been on the air? We have been on the air.
Almost 20 years.
20 years, and we are part-time. Mm-hmm.
Do you, let me ask you something.
And you just argue about doctors and lawyers for 20 years?
It's a running dialogue that we've had on the show, and he always brings this up.
Do you sell the novelty dreidels? I know they're kind of, you know, sacrilegious, but the dreidels that the potty sayings on them, you know,
yes,
kiss someone to your left.
I don't think that has to do with anything that we're talking about.
That's a joke item. We had that last year.
I think you've inhaled some of your own anesthesia, all right? I mean, that's like bringing up the old rubber bagel gag.
No, but at my temple, I did buy 3D glasses that when you look through them, you see Jewish stars.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now we're applauding you.
That's wonderful.
Well, you turn the table.
Very big Hanukkah.
You have turned the table. That's wonderful.
And if I could ask a personal question that we ask everyone on Jew to Jew, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, and I'm sorry that you're neither, what is your favorite Barbra Streisand song of all time? There is only one correct answer.
Of course. Let's see if he's got the right one. Malcolm?
Malcolm.
Your favorite Barbra Streisand song.
I'm thinking there's such a...
All right, take it.
There's one, there's the international one that's known by all.
People.
Bravo. Well, you're the big winner, Malcolm. You're a wonderful man.
Listen, Malcolm, our time is very valuable. We want to thank you for your time.
Hey, at your rate.
The current time is 11 minutes after the hour. If you have to be somewhere by the bottom of the hour, you've got 29 minutes to do it. Until next time, let me remind you that our time is so special together, and I hope that you always have the time for Jew to Jew on the Westwood One Network.
Please don't forget to identify yourself.
I am Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. We've been talking
with Malcolm Kushner. Malcolm has written a book, The Annual Cost of Laughing Index. Malcolm Kushner, may I ask you, do you have any relatives in the Washington area named either Steve or Harvey?
Oh, I know who Harvey Kushner is. His wife, Rose, wrote Why Me? We're not related as far as I know, but Rose and I used to talk to each other.
Because I'll tell you...
I'm not sure it's the same Kushner.
Harvey,
her husband, Harvey, ran like a big defense or built contracting.
No, I'm talking about
a guy who ran a...
Harvey's Custom Cleaners.
A cleaners, and he had a...
Oh.
He had a son who got into the radio business, and he's forget about it.
Not to worry. Thank you, Malcolm. Cue the announcer, please.
Malcolm, hold on a second for your post-interview. When we come right back, we're going to be discussing the show American Idol. And really, where are the Jews on this show?
It's really a crime, and I think there's somebody should do something about it.
We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Kuthman, attorney at law.
Time is money, and we're out of time for now. You're listening to Jew to Jew with your hosts, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Jew to Jew is brought to you by the law firm of Ephraim & Associates. This is Michael Rabinowitz speaking.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Join us next time for another edition of Jew to Jew on the Westwood One Radio Network.
And we're going to go to commercials now. At 13. Oh, I must put this on hold. Put this on hold, and I'll tell you that coming up. Rob, pick up the phone.
Malcolm.
There we go.
How do you think it went? Well, they really enjoyed it. We'd love to have you on in the near future.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. It's fine. It's fine. I think you did good. We look forward to calling you again. Thank you. May I call you MK?
He was cool. You know, I thought at the very beginning he said, is this a joke?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then when he said, do you guys just argue every week about who's got a doctor or pointers?
Well, what he said on phone was great. He says, you should have warned me as to what this was. I would have prepared a bunch of Jew jokes.
Okay, so we got it.
Yeah. All right. Phone scan time right now. Yeah. We almost ran out of show yesterday. That ain't going to happen today.
Right.
We'll get your phone calls in right now, but you really... You got to dial fast. 877-365-3636 from America, from Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. You know what you like about all those numbers?
What's that?
It's toll free.
Toll free. And remember, stay out of the book.
The value.
The book. I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Thank you.
And his wife. What was her name?
Rose.
Rose.
Wrong Kushner.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Yes, tell me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, call now for the phone scan.
Hi, I'm Joe Gibbs for CentOS. Did you know that CentOS offers more than just outstanding uniform programs? From entrance mats to first aid and safety products, CentOS handles it all. Call 1-800-CIMTAS-1 to find out more. CentOS, the uniform people.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? People are safe before they kill somebody if a bullet costs $5,000. Man, I would blow your fucking head off if I could afford it. Well, give me another job. I'm gonna start saving some money, and you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
They're at it again.
Take it easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
It was almost worse this way, just here.
They respectfully declined.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Okay, here we go with your calls.
Hello.
On the rotating. Random phone scan. We take calls from all over America at 877-365-3636. Canada, 800-636-1067. These calls are on screen.
Excellent.
Please don't make us put you in the book.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Don't make us put you in the cooler. Hey, Rob. Before we do this, I got it. Never mind.
Hello?
I'll ask you during the break.
Hello, friend. Hello.
Don and Mike, you're with me here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi.
It's so hard to get through to you guys.
Yeah, it is.
I can't believe I'm actually on the air.
Neither can I.
Well, what's your name?
Christina.
Christina!
Damn it. What can we do for you, Christina?
Actually, I was just calling to say you guys make my life so much easier when I'm in traffic of 495.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Thank you. You're not in the book.
I'm not in the what?
The book. No, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing not to be in the book. When we say you're not in the book, that means it was a nice call.
It was just something we started yesterday. Just two people are in the book. Just the guy that called and another woman that reminded me of Amorosa from The Apprentice. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hello.
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 Hello. I'm wondering if there would be any prizes on the next Jew to Jew.
Oh, now, come on. Ever forward.
Would you stop that, please?
Please, come on now.
Hello, Donald, Michael.
With you. Now everybody wants to talk.
Hello. Listen, I'm just sitting here eating my bagel.
Yeah.
And, of course, a bagel's nothing more than a donut with rigor mortis. okay. But, of course, I've got a joke for you here.
Oh, now, listen, hold on.
It's a clean joke. It's a very clean joke.
I see that.
I promise. You.
Hey, hold on. Shut up, please.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
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 We have your phone number on caller ID.
Thank you very much.
So, if you want to tell the joke,
okay.
Be my guest.
Absolutely.
But understand this.
Yes.
We want to laugh. We're ready to laugh. We're in great mood.
Absolutely.
Love having fun.
You will laugh.
But if we don't laugh at this joke, I'm going to give out this number that you called.
Absolutely.
We have your permission to do that.
Absolutely.
Then we will let you tell your joke.
Maybe this will be the first joke that really does.
That'd be great.
I hope so.
Nothing would make me happier.
Buzz, you will like this joke. Everyone will like this joke.
We've heard the promises.
Go ahead.
The teacher asked her prize student, "So, Moshe, what does 2 + 2 make? Buying or selling?" Moshe replied.
Are you can call this guy at area code 202-776-5000. I hope that's not your work number.
No, it's not.
Okay. I hope not. I hope not because it sure does sound like a work number, 202-776-5000.
Come on, you guys didn't like that joke?
And why split hairs, but the name would be Moshe?
Moshe.
Yeah. Oh, like Gary Berkowitz's dog. Moshe. Right. Moshe.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you, ladies, made me laugh. He's flirting with the pages.
He is.
Source and O'Mara, out. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing, Don?
Thank you for asking. I'm barely holding it together today. Barely holding it together.
Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to call and see if you were still going to be out on the market.
Out on the market?
Yeah. I'm a single guy.
I am currently dating a woman, and I am seeing her exclusively.
Carla?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, my husband has been trying to get me to move to Tahoe.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You just...
Wait a minute. Now I'm totally confused.
You're asking Mike if he has a girlfriend, and then you mentioned the H word.
Because my husband has been trying to get me to move to Lake Tahoe, and last week when I found out that you guys aren't on the air in Lake Tahoe... I thought, I'm not going to be moving, so...
You want to be the next Mrs. Mike O'Mara?
Sure.
Really?
That's your plan?
It makes me laugh.
Get in line.
Well, you know, get in line.
Shut up, sorry. Well, I'm very flattered. I'm still confused about the husband part, though. How are you not going to be with your husband?
No, I probably will end up going there, but I don't want to move there. And I was last week.
So
and
the request for the move, you're thinking about dumping your husband?
Well, I don't want to move to Tahoe. And then,
darling, hold on, darling.
Okay.
Is the issue us? Is the issue Mike? Or is the issue really that you just want to dump your husband?
The issue is that I don't want to have to live my life without Don and Mike and Buzz and Rob.
How long have you been married?
Oh, 10 years.
10 years.
10 years. Do you let me ask you
That's
this.
That's long enough.
Let me see. What did that guy ask my wife the other night at the bar?
Buzz.
What did the guy ask him?
Does he make you happy?
Oh, yeah. Does he make you happy?
Well, of course he does.
Huh. Well, he makes you happy. And then, I mean, is he around? Does he give you the attention you need?
Well, off and on.
Have you kept, Have you kept yourself nice and proper? And
I'm gorgeous.
Are
in
you
fact,
really?
I really wanted to meet you guys in Reno.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Yeah.
I've heard Daisy Fuentes.
How old are you?
I'm 37. I've had three kids, but I've kept myself up pretty
good. Bye-bye. That's sayonara time. Mike, do you take C-section? C-section, do you take Mike? And not to mention...
Oh, God.
Hey, Mr. Mike is our new dad.
Hey, but you know, I like Latin women.
Yeah. I like Daisy Fuentes, too, but I don't know if I'd like the 37-year-old Daisy Fuentes who's squeezed out three kids.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I have two beautiful children of my own that I love, and I'm not sure I want to do that movie. You know, eight is enough.
You know. Don and Mike, hello. Hey, but the guy, the husband's got to feel pretty good if he's driving around listening to the radio.
Yeah,
the
halfway to Tahoe going, what?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Bing bong, good guy, Chom Tom, to you.
Right on. Same to you.
Hey, I had a question about Herr Spiewak and his book.
Which of his books? Oh, you mean the book? All right, yeah, go ahead.
His final solution for the bad callers.
Okay. Oh, you know what? That might be funny enough to win a prize.
I was wondering, Don, is he going to make the people have the number that they are assigned to in the book test?
All right, okay.
Stop it. I want to give you a prize.
God.
I want to give you a prize. Where are you from?
Laurel.
All right, you've got tickets to see Van Hagar. I'm not going to call them Van Halen because it's
good
the good.
You.
It's the good Van Halen with Sammy Hagar.
Van Hagar, very good.
Van Hagar, Van Halen, live in concert, MCI Center here in D.C. Friday, June 25th. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster. You've got great seats. Everybody, go to Ticketmaster.com. You're a good caller. Thank you. Hold on.
By the way, the answer is yes.
What was the question, Buzz?
About the book, the numbers, Rob's numbers.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey, I'm down in Baltimore. The city's in an uproar here. Did you guys say something or what? Because as I'm driving past the block, I see a bunch of people on the roof, some of which are hanging by police nets, screaming, I can't get rid of my clap.
Yeah, that's right. The news that we announced exclusively for Baltimore.
Yes, mutant gonorrhea.
Cannot be, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, says they cannot cure it.
Cannot be cured, no.
Hello, Don and Mike. That means we're never going to go to Baltimore to do another remote again. Never.
Hey, of course not.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Juan, you have had a great show today.
Hey, Juan, another guy getting Spanish.
Spanish people think I'm the devil.
Thank you for calling.
Super duper. Let's go to a pig roast.
And a pig roast. God, you people do listen to everything on this show.
They're picking up on it.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Don't you speak Shannon? Hello?
Renato y Miguel, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, that was the problem
this
right there.
This is the problem.
Yeah, you frightened him.
Hello, how are you?
Muy bien, gracias, ¿y tú?
Oh, bien, bien.
Is he playing Sanford and Son in the
He's
background?
Playing Lowrider. Lowrider.
That's what it was. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Lowrider's the theme of the George Lopez show.
Ah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Is it really?
Yes. Hello, funny program. Don and Mike show. He's a bright and upcoming star.
The big head of George Lopez.
He's
very, very funny. He's our generation's Freddie Prinze.
There you go.
Senior.
Don and Mike show. Then why doesn't he do what Freddie Prinze Senior did?
Oh, God.
I know, we're crossed. And the fingers are crossed and George Lopez will kill himself.
A man can hope, can he?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, this is Tom from Buffalo.
Hi.
How's it going? Have you listened to Hat Boys lately?
Your phone is breaking up a little bit, sir.
Have we listened to what?
Have you listened to the tabloids lately?
The tabloids? Well, I read them, but listen to the shows. What are you talking about? What's your topic?
Well, the Pope is supposed to name his next successor. It's going to be Mel Gibson from The Passion of the Christ.
The Pope? What? Hold on. Start over again.
God.
I don't want to put you in the book, dude.
Hello?
The tabloids?
Now, listen, what you got to do is you got to take a very, very deep breath,
I'm
okay?
Sorry.
I follow it, sadly.
Yeah, I think we got to put another one in the book.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what's your name?
Tom.
What last initial?
Huh?
What's your last initial?
M.
And you're from Buffalo?
Yeah, from Buffalo.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Mm-hmm. Are you married?
I'm getting married.
You're getting married?
You're engaged to be married.
Still live with your mom?
Yeah, this guy.
Still live with your mom?
No, I'm living with my fiance right now.
Okay. Favorite football team besides the Buffalo Bills?
Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
I'm from Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland originally.
You're from Cleveland?
All right, Nate, are you familiar with what the book means?
It's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. It depends. You know, it's like, talk to a registered sex offender and ask them if it's a bad thing that they go in a book. And also, we're going to send you a sign that you have to put in your front yard.
Yeah.
So, like, well, I just want to tell you guys that the tablets are saying that the Pope was naming his ex-successor Mel
Gibson. Okay, listen to me. Your name is no longer, what was your name again?
Tom M. from Buffalo. He's in the book.
Your new name is 000-000-000-000.
Oh, come
three.
On, guys.
Three.
Yeah, you're the third
That's
one
the
now.
That's the first time college.
Yeah, well, see, man, you can never... You're unwelcome here.
I'm sorry. Now, Mike, we're going to be nicer to these people when we put them in the book.
Why?
We want them to think that it's some kind of a privilege.
Oh, I see. Well, that's new to me.
I don't want
to
be in the book, though.
I've just come up with...
That's new to me. I see no reason why we can't make an example of them. Tom M. All right, let me see if I can do this. Tom M., this is a great prize.
You're in the Don and Mike Exclusive Listeners Club.
Congratulations, Tom.
That means from now on, whenever you call, you'll be immediately flagged and known as listener 000/000/3, and we'll know not to take your call.
So I guess congratulations are in order, Tom.
There you go, Mike.
Extend your arm.
Thanks, guys.
And Tom, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
I told him he was unwelcome here.
Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike?
Yes, hi.
Tracy Neal speaking.
Oh, get out of here. Hello. You're banned. That guy's not in the book. That guy just banned.
He might be banned.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I'm calling from the Buffalo area, too.
What about Buffalo?
She said she's calling from the Buffalo area, too.
Oh, I got you. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to call and say I listen to your show all the time. I think it's great. And I wanted to hear if you found, if you heard about the new Michael Jackson issue today.
Is this a joke?
No, or is it a news story?
It's both.
A joke? Well, no, honey. If it's a joke, we got to do that thing again where we get your phone number, and if the joke's not funny, we give it out.
Okay.
You're willing for us to do that?
Sure.
All right, and you're on area code 716?
Yeah, 555-121.
Okay. No. Hold on now. Listen, you got to understand we're serious about this, darling, that if you
tell us... Charlie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. If you tell us...
Who called my name?
I pressed the wrong button, Charlie.
It's a joke.
All right, if we don't laugh at the joke, we will give out your phone number. But we desperately want to laugh.
Okay.
Wait, hold on a second. I know you're very eager to tell the joke, but I just want to give you a heads up. If you think we're going to laugh, you really think we're going to laugh, then tell the joke. If you think we're not, and there might be a chance that we won't, then, you know, you don't want your phone number given out.
You're definitely going to laugh.
All right.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
Michael Jackson was spotted in the Buffalo area Walmart. He heard the boy's pants were half off.
Lady.
Lady, do you have any idea how old that joke is?
Lady, we're not putting you in the book.
You're not going to be in the book.
But I'm going to ask that everybody put your number on speed dial. Area code 716-804-1261. Again. And call her before you call the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
716-804-1261. You crazy... crazy nutty broad.
Thank you.
You crazy Valley of the Dolls nutty Stepford wife. Listen, you are a winner.
You're a big winner.
You're the last person on the phone, Scan.
No way.
Yes. No. We have to. I'd love to take another call to end with a better taste.
First the punishment, now the reward.
But I'm afraid that it's this taste that we're going to have. Congratulations, you won the WWE prize pack.
Cool.
That's for WWE Backlash, which was live on Sunday, April 18th. The good news is we don't have to talk about the pay-per-view. You just get all the WWE stuff. And thank you for listening to the show.
Thanks.
And really, now seriously, that joke is like... How?
I think the joke is prior to his recent trouble. It's a couple of years old.
No, it's like 10 years.
Yeah, easily.
Probably, possibly. Yeah.
Since the first kid came out and made the
accusation. I think they came up with the joke before Michael Jackson was even born. That's how old the joke is.
He's still there?
Hello.
Oh, she got. She hung up. She had another call.
She just hung up.
Oh, I bet. You know, I bet she did.
Exactly what it was.
You know, there's a very good chance she left that conversation conflicted.
Yeah.
Because you punished and then you rewarded.
I think it's a brilliant strategy.
It is. But she's not in the book.
You know, I learn from this show every day.
Do you?
Yes. You punish. And then you reward.
You knock them down.
Yes.
And build them up.
Buzz, that is positively
brilliant.
We'll be right back with the Joe Movie Show. Okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show. Back then, drinking usually was a source of humor, especially on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Off camera, no one recognized a problem.
I don't ever recall him not showing up. I don't ever recall him getting surly or nasty. I mean, I'm sure you'll hear this, too. At certain times at around 5 o'clock, he would draw martini glasses on his script while we were having notes or something like that. But it never seemed to be an issue.
The Don and Mike Show.
Proof that comedy doesn't need to be funny. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. I love that one.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe, get in here, please.
Yeah.
I thought this was Lowrider. What is this, summer?
I like this.
We were talking about Lowrider.
Lowrider.
On the George Lopez show, right?
Ellie May is such a beautiful girl.
Oh, you got me.
I wonder why she's not married.
Married.
She's 18. She's too old.
Wait, that's not the Beverly Hillbillies, is it?
No, that's a song by War. What's this, the remix? Hey, how you doing? It's time for the remix now.
Yeah! Okay.
This is your DJ, Pat Smear.
How are you?
This one's for Chewy. And all the low riders.
Oh, my.
There you go. That's what I wanted.
You love that.
We're ready now for the Joe Movie Show.
Yay.
Joining us here is the world's oldest phone screen.
Joe Ardinger.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe. I was just talking with the guys also. I think tomorrow we're jam-packed, but maybe before the end of the week, before we tire of it, we're going to have to call the sex lines.
Yes.
As Shannon. Hello.
Hello. Yes.
What can you do for me?
Just say hello.
Fantastic. Joe.
Yes.
What's the movie? I forgot the
theme. Hey, Rob, can we dim the lights a little bit? Yeah, we're having a film.
Forgot the theme to the Joe Show.
Joe.
When Joe Ardinger comes in with his movie collection. Joe, what is the year of the movie we're going to be watching and listening to today?
The era?
Yeah.
Geez, I guess the 50s.
Oh, wow, so we're really going back. We're rocking.
Oh, this is exciting.
The last set of movies that we had from Joe were from the 70s, and they were all like movies that were shown to kids in school.
Yeah, there were a couple from the 60s, I think.
This one from the 50s, and this is the one about alcohol, right, Joe? It's like alcohol's dynamite or something?
Alcohol is dynamite. And they don't mean it in a good way.
Oh.
Not in a good way at all.
All right, let's roll it here. Here it is. Welcome to another edition of Joe's Movie House. And we spell that H-A-U-S with an umlaut.
Mm-hmm. Here's the VD song.
Okay.
Crank it up.
VD is for everybody.
I remember that.
Yeah, me too.
Not just for the
few. It's not a pro VD song, you know?
No, it's okay. Just a public service announcement. God, I remember that.
It starts on VDs forever.
You happen to remember that, Don?
I don't.
It was on TV all the time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, look, if you look at the video.
VD is for everybody.
I've never heard this. They all look very happy for having VD.
Well,
they don't know yet.
Because VD's for everyone. There's a man with a child on his back at the beach. That was the baby going to get VD? There's lots of shots of like babies here.
Well, that's because anybody can get it.
Right. What about the guy with his horse? I mean, a horse gets VD?
No, probably the person next to him.
Get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. Mm-hmm. If you need help, see a doctor.
From the Ad Council.
Good advice.
VD is for everybody. Okay.
There it is, Rob, on the right.
The movie we'll be watching today
alcohol is dynamite.
Roll it. Let's learn something on the Joe movie review.
Yeah,
teens Bud and Jack, eager to get some alcohol from the liquor store, ask an adult to buy it for them.
Oh.
Instead, the adult tells them a story about three teenagers who learn the hard way that alcohol is a violent narcotic.
They don't want a story.
In true Sid Davis form, the story ends with one innocent teen being killed and the one who becomes an alcoholic bum, leaving the rest to deal with their guilt from their night of reckless abandon.
1958.
One night, that's all it's like.
1958, the year I was born.
Fantastic.
A great year in rock and roll history. Sid Davis Productions presents Alcohol is Dynamite. The picture was produced with the counsel and assistance of the Police Department of Englewood, California. Actors appear as a public service. We acknowledge the cooperation of the 1320 Youth Group of Englewood.
Seen that sign enough times, haven't you? Any bar or club that sells liquor by the drink or any retail store beverages is sure to have it in a prominent place. Bud and Jack went in to buy a case of beer for a picnic. And right now, they think it's pretty unfair that they can't walk into a store like anyone else and buy liquor just because they're underage. Oh, that's me, incidentally, Tom Ullman. I'm a sports reporter on the city paper.
Hi, Tom.
The boys want me to take their money and buy their drinks for them. No deal. Maybe it'd be a good idea if I told them a little something about why that sign is in the window.
Why?
And why they should be glad it is there.
Be glad.
For anybody who fools around with this, adult or minor, is playing with dynamite.
Now it's gone from a cartoon of a bottle of booze to a cartoon of dynamite.
I wanted to tell these boys about Paul, Jim, and Tip. I guess you could say Paul started it all, but it wasn't all his fault, actually.
He got a guitar case.
He was just too good a musician for his age. He played in dance bands with older fellas, and they taught him things he'd be better off not knowing.
Now he's just drinking. Right out of the bottle. What a rogue.
He had the richest father in town. And Tip,
yeah, the richest father
well,
in
Tip
town.
Was captain of the basketball team. All state the year before. They saw something funny.
Now what they're
the
showing is they're showing
Paul
these guys running around doing all these different things.
According
his buddies pull up in a convertible and they whip out the bottle.
The other boys have never tasted liquor before.
Uh-oh.
They have to be dared into it. That first drink isn't very enjoyable.
He's smelling it.
It burns your insides and it makes your eyes water.
It does.
Yes, it does.
It does not.
Tip refused the drink. He said he was in training and basketball meant too much.
Faggot.
But that isn't good enough for his friends. He has to be a sport. You'd be surprised at how little it takes to get you tight that first time.
Get tight,
true,
baby.
Adults, but at high school age, even though your mind seems mature,
yeah,
your body isn't. And alcohol is a violent narcotic.
Violent narcotic.
Way to go, Jock.
Remember that.
Come on, Chief.
Yeah, they picked the wrong guy to ask. They gave him the booze.
Now they're going to sit down.
And now they're starting to wobble a little bit.
Isn't this great booze, Chief?
I'll tell you, they're in the midst of experimenting with a violent narcotic.
What alcohol does to the human body, aside from making the owner of it act like this? Well, let's take Paul as an example.
They're just sitting on the stairs.
They're not really doing anything.
Anthropologists say that what distinguishes man from the lower animals is his power of reason.
What do they know?
A power found in a portion of the brain called the frontal lobe.
Now there's a nice picture.
When a cartoon of the brain
gets in the blood, that's right where it heads for, the frontal lobes. Almost as if its aim in life was to transform man back into an animal. To take away the reasoning powers and self-controls. Or, to use a highbrow word,
why is Charlie Broyles picture there?
Society possible. What would happen if the bottle weren't empty? If the boys...
It's just a big picture of a monkey on the screen now.
The ball doesn't stop after knocking out the frontal lobe.
Oh, there we go.
It's in on the whole nerve.
Turns us into monkeys, into animals.
Every function of the body. How much alcohol does this take? Well, suppose there are 3 or 4 drops of alcohol for every 1,000 drops of blood.
Now, the one boy that had the bottle, he's passed out in the high school bleachers, and his friends
are laughing at him.
Are sitting out there laughing at him.
He keeps on drinking, and the concentration reaches 4 to 5 drops. He ends up like this. And that's fortunate in a way, because if he was able to lift his hand for another drink, the undertaker would have another customer. You see, all it takes is 5 drops of alcohol for every 1,000 drops of blood. A half of 1%. And brother, you're a dead duck.
I had more than 5 drops of alcohol last night. I'm living today. I did.
Well, that first night was the start. Paul, Jim, and Tip took to drinking together.
Sure.
Jim's father gave him plenty of money, and Jim kept them in liquor.
Hold on.
Thanks, Dad.
These guys are like at Arnold's Drive-In.
They're spiking their cokes.
But they're doing it right out in front of everybody. Uh-oh, now they're driving. Oh, no. They're driving their 1950s cars. Cops pulled them over.
Yeah, that happened.
Found the bottle.
They found the bottle. Oh,
my goodness.
Well, you're in trouble now, Buster.
I feel like I'm watching Leonard Little from the St. Louis Rams.
Going through a stop sign, and he is picked up on suspicion of drunk driving.
Sure.
See?
That's right.
Dumb kid.
You should have just had him altered at the diner.
The music says it all.
All right.
Dad had to get him out.
The station. And because this was Jim's first offense, was successful in having Jim released, following a severe warning.
Thanks, Dad.
Severe beating.
In the meantime, Tip's playing went from bad to worse.
Uh-oh.
And then came a day that Tip would like to forget.
Here it is.
One he'll remember all his life.
Here comes the message.
Why do they all talk like that?
But his two good friends were there to console him. And they were sure a drink would make him feel better.
Have a drink.
Have
well,
one.
The alcohol
Just
story,
remember alcohol's dynamite.
The boys were drinking more and more, depending on liquor to get them through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Even dates were no fun anymore without a bottle.
Michael O'Mara.
Stop it. Stop it, you.
Naturally, what the waiter is doing is reminding them that he has a sign in his front window, too.
Naturally.
We do not serve liquor to minors. But Jim had thought of that.
Oh, was his fake ID?
No, they snuck some more liquor into a club.
Oh, I see. Oh, they brought their own.
They're sneaking it.
They're sitting like in a restaurant.
They got their girlfriend, so you know tragedy is on its way.
Oh, dear.
Jim's date, Judy, had never tasted liquor before. But like dope addicts, one drinker can't stand the sight of somebody not drinking.
Don't know about
dope
it.
Addicts.
But like dope addicts. Who had recorded
it
also.
Look, she hates
Soon,
it.
Judy catches the spirit
yeah,
of the thing.
Yeah, she gags once and then bingo. Hey.
Hit the red. Wow.
Dug it.
Look at her drink. Drink. She just chugged the whole glass.
Oh, that's it now.
Now the waiters come over.
Right to be sore. They'll give the club a bad name, he says, and he puts them all out.
That's
he
right.
wants to keep his license.
Get out of here, kids.
Amen. For us all.
Go drive home.
Right.
Jesus. that's what they're doing.
So it's the bartender's fault.
They're all getting in the car
The boys
now.
Can't understand, Judy. Only two drinks and look at her. But it's really very simple. Tolerance for alcohol varies from person to person.
Somebody's going to get lucky.
Like a deadly poison.
I don't think so, Don. I think quite the opposite is true.
Not with this narcotic.
I think something bad's going to happen right now. And they're in a convertible, and I think they're going to get in trouble.
Judy's sick. Uh-oh.
And on someone...
She's down.
She's out. Out for the count.
...is a lot more violent.
Oh, dear.
Himself is in no shape to drive. Right now, he wishes he'd taken just one less drink.
Yeah, the trouble's going to come right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear, here it comes.
Driving in traffic. Driving with a girl passed out?
Driving too fast.
Look out, Jim.
That's right, it's dynamite.
Uh-oh.
Here
comes a car.
Hey,
nice special effect with her head.
Special effect with the hubcap.
And her head going into the dashboard.
Oh, they broke the bottle.
Well, there's the result. Just another victim of a drunk driver. One of the estimated 10 to 20,000 last year alone.
Hey, Mike, you're really coming along.
Hi, Rudy.
Now he's doing the test.
Oh, now they're making the guy who drove the car.
A few tests in high school
Do
after
the test.
He started drinking. But he never failed a test as serious as this one.
He can't even stand up.
This poor lad.
It's not overproduced music, though.
Jim went to jail with plenty of time to think.
Drunk boy guilty of manslaughter.
Boys after the accident.
Extra Hollywood Tribune.
Paul was almost a complete alcoholic for a while, but then he became one of the youngest members of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, that's nice.
Now he has a chance to save himself.
He has a chance.
Jim never got over that accident. When he got out of jail, he went back to drinking and ended up on Skid Row.
Oh,
derelict.
Oh, my.
Tip, the third boy, realized at the scene of the accident that he was playing in the wrong league.
Right then, he made a vow never to touch a drop of liquor again.
Good boy.
And he hasn't. How do I know?
No. How do you know?
Because Tip is my son. Why did Americans in 1 year spend $2 billion more for liquor than for all education?
Why, Don?
That's a tough one to answer.
We don't have the answer, Joe.
Can't or thinks he can't measure up. He looks for a crutch, something to help him. He takes a drink.
Uh-huh.
Alcohol deadens the part of the brain that holds his worries and responsibilities.
I got hiccups.
And he thinks it's helping him. But instead of helping him, every drink gives him that much less chance
Tipping.
Of ever being able to...
Can we lie? Can we fill in 15?
Hi, Frida.
No, all right. I don't even remember what it was.
Resorting to alcohol. What about the boy or girl who never gives himself a chance to learn to adjust without liquor?
I got hiccups.
So that's why you see that sign in the window. And that's why any boy and girl should be glad that somebody put it there.
Right.
Because
right on.
Alcohol is dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yes.
Bravo.
So is this film.
Now, who says that this show does no good?
A Sid Davis production.
A Sid Davis production.
From 1958.
Who says that on the Joe Show, the Joe Movie House,
right,
that we don't provide a public service?
We do indeed. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe Artinger.
Thank you.
Joe, what's next on Joe's Movie House the next time we have you by?
I think we'll visit the drugs and do the Drugs Are Like That. That's the one narrated by Anita Bryant.
Oh, good. She's very good.
And eventually we'll go to Good Health and Hygiene. And then once we eventually wear them all out, the finale will be the California Highway Patrol training video, which you will not believe. So,
all right.
Everybody stay tuned.
Fantastic.
You heard it.
Joe.
You heard it from the guy who answers our telephone.
That's quite a tease. The California Highway Patrol video.
Joe.
I will never drink again.
You know, and I don't know where he gets these movies from, these 1950s, 60s, and 70s movies. But Buzz, you're right.
Yeah.
We laugh and we mock. Yet I'm sitting here thinking... Last night, when I went to my bar, which incidentally,
right.
I will be just taking an axe to.
Yeah, good for you.
I've learned so much.
Good for you.
When I poured that double Grey Goose vanilla vodka over tonic juice with just a splash of cranberry.
Sweet poison.
I'm wondering, how many drops were in there?
Yeah, well, see, it's based on blood ratio.
It's
yeah.
more than five drops, well, though.
No, but that's fine if you had, like, one, you know, gallon of
vodka. Five drops per thousand drops of blood.
But, Mike, I did have 1 gallon of vodka. Last night.
Well,
man. The odd thing is when you drove over to my house, you seemed fine.
Oh, God. You're in trouble, Buster. Because you're playing with dynamite, and don't forget it.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Hi.
He made it up.
Hey, you gotta see. I mean,
just remember one thing, mister.
What's that?
You're an adult. So am I. As strange as that might seem.
And these movies are so bad.
1958.
The production.
Hold on. And they don't even use, like, the actors talking.
Yeah. No,
it's just a constant narration. Here's what happened next.
And look at this girl.
There you go.
And the headline in the, what was it, the newspaper, the Hollywood whatever?
The Hollywood Tribune, and it's never explained why the guy says, hi, I'm a sports writer.
I'm a sports writer.
Drunk boy guilty of manslaughter.
That was my son.
Buzz, what's your lead story on the news and comments?
Drunk
tonight?
Boy guilty of manslaughter.
Oh, okay.
No, today, Jacko's just fired lawyers say he's made a big mistake.
Uh-oh.
Good story. That's
stay
good.
Tuned.
Stay tuned, everybody.
News and comments.
News and comments. Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show is what? It's
well, I've given a lot of thought to it. And I've come to the conclusion, the Don and Mike Show is very professional.
Is it dynamite?
It's dynamite.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Two hot and hairy bear studs, Don and Mike.
Hi there, time for Buzz's News now. Buzz brought to you by Duramax, world's number one sexual pleasure. Performance enhancer, Duramax. Number one, because it really works.
Someone called for doctor?
Yes, doctor developed and clinically tested.
I would climb it.
Patented. Veramax, available nationwide. 1-888 Trey VMAX. And now here is Buzz Gurley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. One of the two high-profile lawyers just fired by Michael Jackson says he's made a big mistake. Quoting Ben Brafman, I don't think it's a good idea to change lawyers when they're doing a good job.
He says, stay cool.
Says he and Mark Garagos have a proven record of success.
Bronfman says he and Garagos had run-ins with Michael's family and his entourage, which has included members of Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. Quoting Bronfman again, "Are there too many people around Michael who seek to weigh in on every decision? I think that's a fair observation."
Hey, it was always a pleasure. It is always a pleasure, I should say, to see Jermaine Jackson on the network news.
Amen.
Yes. What was it? The Today Show.
Right.
From, I don't know where he is, I don't know what country he's in,
right.
But he's not here.
Right.
And he's so far away that Matt Lauer says, "We're going to talk to Jermaine Jackson now, but keep in mind there's that delay." But there was a 5-second delay.
So did they announce that there will be a delay that be difficult?
Matt Lauer said there's quite a delay we're working with. So he goes, "Jermaine, what do you think about Michael?" Now, meanwhile, the camera's just on Jermaine Jackson, who's just sitting there looking at the camera. And he goes, "Good morning, Matt." Yeah. It was that awkward.
Really long.
And some of those, they just can't help it.
And I don't know.
Skip, it's called.
I don't know where he was, you know, Islam, wherever he is.
He was at Islam.
He was at the country of Islam.
That's where he's in the country of Islam. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you sure he wasn't in New York and he's just stupid?
No,
and it wasn't
we had him on the show, though.
And it wasn't like a Daily Show thing where he was standing in front of one of those blue screens.
I'm live at the Kremlin. Well, Jermaine says he's surprised that Michael let these lawyers go. But quoting Brothman again, "Are there too many people around Michael? Michael's due in court on Friday for arraignment on child molestation charges, which he now says have put his life at stake." That's a quote. But Michael also says he has not replaced his legal team, just his lead lawyers.
And Mike, really, tonight, tomorrow, sometime, turn on Court TV and just get a look at the haircut that the new guy has.
I have to see
the old haircut. Robert Blake guy.
So he's got a bad hair does not it necessarily is, mean acquittal.
It is the worst hair. He's an
really?
Old guy.
Does it look like it could be fake hair? Could it be a toupe?
No, it's one of those guys you would think maybe, but because he's a lawyer on TV, you gotta think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's kind of fat and it's long, it's way long in the front like this with bangs,
right?
And then comes down on the side like a beetle haircut, but goes all the way over his ear.
I'm gonna take a good hard look at that and see if it's wig.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
But Michael says that about replacing not his legal team, just his lead lawyers, that seems to leave open the possibility of the fired lawyers sticking around, and they sound as though they'd be up for it. They say there's no tension between them and Michael. And Entertainment Tonight is reporting that Michael has also fired Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. Members of that group have been helping Michael with finances and security, and they apparently
that's where he was in Nations of Islam.
Talking to the lawyers.
He was somewhere in Islam. I knew it.
Will the Nation of Islam go quietly? Quoting Michael's former spokesman, "They've staked a lot on this, and they have a reputation for exacting a price, so this could get a little messy." Now, Michael met his new lawyer in Florida, where Michael and his children are staying for a while.
"Hi, I like your hair."
To try to avoid the media. Up until Friday, it wasn't working. In fact, last Friday, Michael issued a statement asking the media to respect his privacy and that of his children.
His privacy.
Quoting Jacko, "There are helicopters hovering, reporters staking out, and photographers lurking behind bushes running rampant around my compound."
Yesterday on the news, didn't you say that Michael Jackson is urging all of his money fans
to turn out for the hearing on Friday?
Right.
Yes, but not until then.
That's a double-edged sword. Play it. What I want to do... I want to fire my old lawyers.
Uh-huh.
And what I'd like to do is get me a lawyer with really long hair in the front.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Consider it done.
Can you do that, Don?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a picture of him right now on the internet for you, Mike.
Okay, bye.
I mean, Michael. Sorry.
The Florida...
Call me Michael.
Okay, Michael.
How many helicopters? Dang.
The Florida compound belongs to timeshare mogul David Siegel, who's renting the $7.5 million mansion to Michael. Quoting him, "I'm not doing it for the money. He's going through some tough times now. I think he's innocent." End quote.
Yeah, and meanwhile, he's collecting a rent check.
Yeah. And again, I saw...
He thinks I'm innocent. I want to rent the most expensive mansion on the street.
And, you know, I said something yesterday that I saw somebody say on one of these channels today on Court TV or something. I'm still watching the Jason Williams thing happen.
Right, yes.
And they had an update on Michael Jackson, and they had... Who's the guy... Gary Oppa, the guy that's also representing Scott Peterson, the guy that just...
Garagos, Mark Garagos,
right. Yeah. So they had a picture of him, and they said, here's what they're wondering. At first, they did a thing where they showed Jay Leno making a joke about it.
Right.
And they showed Letterman making a joke about it.
Right.
And Letterman's joke was was funnier than Leno's. You know,
of course.
Shock. Of course it was.
Right.
But then they had serious conversations where they were alluding to stuff that I mentioned yesterday, which I had heard somewhere else. It wasn't an original thought, that this guy, Garagos, does not want Michael Jackson to dress like a fruity Sergeant Pepper guy.
Yeah, he wants him actually to scale it down like many people do when they're going to court.
Didn't want him to urge to have all the money fans show up, and that is what started the riff. And this guy, and here's what's incredible about this. This guy is representing Scott Peterson.
Right.
Scott Peterson, who killed his wife, killed a baby. Okay?
Right.
He can get that guy to wear a suit and go into court.
Right.
But what he says with Michael Jackson is, hey, listen, dude.
You're fired. I like my Sergeant Pepper outfit.
In essence, what he's saying is, I think Scott Peterson has it more together than you. I got a better chance of keeping my reputation okay with a guy who everybody in the goddamn world knows killed his wife and killed his unborn baby.
Have I mentioned I'm in my 40s? That's just funny.
To mention it more.
Sure.
Here we go again. Now, the Japanese CEO of McDonald's has died of a heart attack. The company's U.S.
Let me tell you something right now. Ancient Chinese secret. You know, advertise on Dynamite Show. Things are happening to you.
Wow. Company's U.S. CEO died last week of the same thing. But unlike his 60-year-old American counterpart, Den Fujita was 78 and had also set up Japan's Toys R Us stores. Wendy's Dave Thomas, of course, died of heart failure as well.
Here's actually what happened. There's a recreation. He's saying no.
Okay.
He's saying no on a Big Mac.
Right.
It's two all beef patties, special sauce. And then all of a sudden,
there he goes.
And he's down.
That's it. He's gone.
And then you can hear the woman on the speaker at the drive-thru. She's still saying, I'm going to have to translate. Hey, Chief. I want a number one without pickles, Chief.
Is that okay for you, Chief?
What do you think, Chief?
Thanks, Chief.
Are you there, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
Are you dead yet, Chief?
Where are you on the floor, Chief? The orders keep coming.
Hey, Chief.
Life goes on. Doctors are performing more breast reductions than ever on men. You won't hear that on the news, only here, but it's more common than people realize. One patient says he used to be too embarrassed to wear a shirt that fit because he had gynecomastia.
Breast beware.
It had to be one of us.
Gynecomastia literally means in Latin, women like breasts.
Like comedian Tubby Boots. I went to the Tubby Boots show one time.
You did. I know you
that
did.
Was his big thing. That was his big act. His big act would be that he would, he would take his shirt off and he would reveal himself to have woman-like breasts.
Like prop comedy at
that
point.
No, it was fantastic. And they looked real.
Doctors now use liposuction and minor surgery to remove the excess tissue. They say the repair is essentially invisible. That patient we mentioned says he no longer has to wear oversized shirts. Quoting him, I feel more inclined to work out and eat better.
Hey, but it's, I don't argue with the guy. He won the Masters golf tournament.
Doctors say the downtime for this surgery has been greatly reduced thanks to new techniques.
And I don't argue with him because, hell, I like listening to him on WMZQ in the middle of the day.
There you go. And in addition to doing breast reductions on men, doctors say they're doing more chest implants. For men, these
very
days.
Nice.
For men? Yeah. Pec implants.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's very nice.
I think, really, throw yourself off a cliff if you're getting that procedure done.
Very nice.
Very nice.
We're losing more jobs to other countries. Now, that includes porn stars.
Before you go on, before you do this, let me just tell you.
All right.
I know this for a fact. I didn't even tell you this the other day.
What's that?
When I was doing all my satellite stuff, getting my DirecTV and my direct satellites, which I was using, I'm having a very nice conversation with an Indian gentleman, like an Abu kind of guy. I was like, hello, how are you? It's going great. I will walk you through the process of rebooting your computer and getting this all set. And I'm like, I'm talking to the guy and I'm figuring everything's fine.
Now, is he at your house or on the phone?
He's on the phone. And at the end of the conversation, out of the blue, the guy says, so how is the weather there? I'm like, it's fine. It was kind of sunny today. Where are you? He says, I'm in India.
Wow.
I said, wait a minute. I said, you're really in India? He said, yes, New Delhi. That's where the cool. DirecTV or DirectWay guys were.
Yeah, right.
Because it's cheap. Yes. And so I said, you're in New Delhi. He said, yes. Thank you very much for calling. It's been great talking to you.
You know, that's like that Michael Moore movie.
I couldn't believe it.
Where they showed people making airline reservations, yes. And they're convicts in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed the scuzziest guys
mm-hmm. right.
sitting at these little cubicles in jail. I think the movie is the big one with Michael Moore.
Yeah, when you're doing your airline reservations, that's who you want to give your credit card number to.
Right. Some guy doing time for killing people.
Thank you very much.
Well, now the jobs we're losing to other countries include porn stars. More X-rated directors are headed for Brazil. One report says they're going there for the beautiful, uninhibited women, the exotic locations, and mainly cheaper production costs. An adult actress in Brazil gets about $175 for a scene, a fraction of the going rate in the Los Angeles area. And most Brazilian performers insist on condoms, which is timely considering the industry shutdown in this country right now.
That's just kind of my personal fantasy. Something I'd like to see. One of these
Don Geronimo stars in The Elephants of Brazil. An erotic thriller.
And I want Rob to be there.
Oh, dear.
I want Rob to be, I want Rob to be topless.
Yeah, but only after he gets his pec implant.
Before he has the breast reduction surgery. And before he has the pecs.
Introducing yeah. Tubby Spiewak. And you do it by folding your arms underneath there. That's
it'd be a big seller.
You know, the only thing that keeps Rob out of the running for that, the hair. The guy's covered with hair.
That's true. That's the waxing would result in bleeding and scabbing.
Yes.
Who wants to see that?
Nasty.
One dentist has found a new reason for you to floss.
Okay.
He says not flossing can make you sterile. Dr. Robert Gregg of Los Angeles says poor oral hygiene allows the growth of bacteria below the gum line. He says that bacteria can then travel through your bloodstream to the reproductive system.
Keep killing me.
Sonny.
He says the bacteria also causes stomach ulcers. Some dentists believe it can cause lung problems as well. But right now, this dentist's concern, sterility.
All right.
Keep killing me.
I'm a chronic flosser.
Good for
be
you.
Be there or be square. It'll be money.
Some people use rope.
Because they have
twine. It's twine, Mike. Sam, where's my ball of twine?
I need that. Where's the ropes they use to tie up the Queen Mary?
Seems I got something between my teeth.
My goodness.
Where's Frank?
Oh, no, it's Larry.
It's Larry. Hello, Larry.
Ah, Larry.
Turns out,
how long's your contract for?
Buzz, hold on.
I need corn and I need twine.
It turns out we're going to do a break here. So when we come back,
Big Brother really is watching people have sex.
You mean the TV show or do you mean like the government?
I mean like the government.
The government, okay. Well, tell them to set up the cameras in my house. It never happens there. It never happens in my house.
Yeah, but put you on a cruise ship and Katie bar the door.
Right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Masters of the Taking Touch. Don and Mike.
Right, right. We're masters of that.
We are.
Let's hear that one more time. You should know this.
Two hot and hairy bears, Doug.
Oh, we're that too. Where's the other one?
Masters of the Taking Touch, Don and Mike.
Thank you. Hey, Bill O'Reilly, thought of the day. Bill, from his Westwood One radio show. He's a very smart guy. We try to point out from time to time.
Yes.
When Bill O'Reilly says something we think makes a lot of sense. Bill O'Reilly.
I am so boring.
A word of wisdom.
Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It turns out Big Brother really is watching. A former New York undercover cop says police officers who were supposed to be videotaping criminal activity in the projects were taping people having sex instead.
Oh, dear.
Through their windows.
See, now, let me just say, a little bit deceiving here.
That's my job.
In your selling of the story.
I mean, I really thought that, hey, there were big cameras. These are cops that are staking out people and they make a mistake.
My job is to alarm you and then let you down.
And I don't even think they're making a mistake. It's just cops just trying to... You know, they're sitting there.
You're a conjurer, Burbank.
Yes, I am.
You're right, O'Mara. Oh, and you should know, I misspoke the other day when I told you my wife never says that to you. She said to me something this morning like, okay, when we're going out to Vegas, I've already talked to Carrie about it. I'm going to talk to Marcia. Talk to O'Mara. And see when, see if O'Mara's going to be coming back at the same time you are. I said, hold on. The man's name is Mike. I swear to God, I said, for 20 years, we've called him Mike.
You pass along to your wife.
No, she said.
You pass along that I am comfortable with it and I like it.
She said, when she called you O'Mara the other day on the radio, you liked it.
No, I don't like it. I love it. I love it because, it, you know, I think it's good. Yeah. It's a good thing. Don't you think it's a good thing? Yeah. You're the Frida expert, too.
Singles you out?
Yes.
I think it's a good thing.
O'Mara.
Yeah.
I like that.
So ask O'Mara if he's going to be on the same flight as you. I said, well, I don't have to ask him because O'Mara is always on the same flight as me. And if you stop calling him O'Mara?
O'Mara.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I love it, Frida. She's not listening now.
Yeah.
Tell her, please.
I pass it along.
So it turns out these undercover cops have been taping people through their windows having sex.
Let me just point out, for those of you that waited through that 10-minute commercial set.
Yeah, I waited for that very story, and I'm totally disappointed.
Not Big Brother, not the government, not the TV show Big Brother. It's cops. It's horny cops.
Right, well,
exactly.
They are the government, and you did come back.
They're not really Big Brother, Buzz. Big Brother, in my mind, is a big centralized computer that spies on us.
Yeah, but Big Brother has guys working for him.
And Big Brother, in my mind, is a great show hosted by Julie Chen.
Yeah, who's dating Les Moonves.
Darn right.
Anyway, a 12-year veteran of the NYPD says video surveillance officers on the late shift turned the job into, and I quote, a private blockbuster pornographic show. He says they watched rented movies in addition to watching people have sex.
After that tease, put Buzz in the book.
Hey! He says the video squad is a dumping ground for cops with disciplinary problems. But the man,
video squad.
The man has given these cops cameras, and the cops are using them to look in people's windows.
Hello, I'm with the video squad.
I used to be in the motorcycle patrol.
You may have heard my name is Big Brother. My name is actually Video Squad.
Video Squad. Now I'm putting Buzz in the book.
Hello.
I know your real name. Yeah. Detective Lieutenant Michael Scott Shannon.
Hello.
Hello.
Join me at a pig roast at Murphy in the Morning's home in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Then, when we are rushing to the airport, we will leave the rental car running with the keys inside.
And if they complain, we'll say, boo, you are ineligible.
And the number one song by a group that was formed for television.
Michael Scott Shannon.
The Monkees. Hello.
TV producer Stephen Bochco is feeling blue about the indecency witch hunt. And with just one season left on the ABC workhorse, NYPD Blue has become a shadow of its former self. When it appeared 11 years ago, it was the target of TV watchdog groups and Christian groups. It survived all of that. The FCC crackdown, however, has succeeded where those groups failed. Bochco says the same executives who asked him to include the word bull-ass in dialogue are now urging him to watch the language. They're also censoring the pictures. He says that in the last 2 months, the networks had to change or cut images in four scenes.
Mm.
He says he may not do that 12th year after all. He blames politicians and the big corporations with which they do business.
That's too bad, because I lived to see Sip with his ass.
Yeah.
You know, I like NYPD Blue. It's fine. It's good to watch.
Right.
This is the perfect example I was telling you guys yesterday, that there's nothing that's on for a long time anymore that people really like.
Appointment TV. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like NYPD's still good.
Yeah, but
I like it, but it's on. You go, I guess I'll watch it.
Right.
You know, it's still a pretty goddamn good show.
It is. I watch it.
It's got a pretty good cast.
I haven't watched it for years.
They don't do that shaky MTV camera thing so much anymore.
Right.
It's really all about Dennis Franz.
Yeah, he's the star.
So don't take the show off.
No, just modify it. Make it NYPD Nom Bleu.
Nom Bleu.
There you go.
Nom Bleu. Hello.
And if all this has you longing for another era, Bill Clinton's memoirs are coming out soon.
Hello.
Thank goodness.
Good beach reading, I suspect. The book My Life will be out in late June.
I actually got an advanced copy.
Really?
Yeah, I have it right here. Slowly, I was standing at the magazine rack. Our eyes just met. We were total strangers.
Oh, I'm
sorry. That's Letters to Penthouse.
It's expected to trounce Hillary's sales figures.
Sure.
The editor of the book says, and I quote, "It's the fullest and most nuanced account of a presidency ever written. One of the most revealing memoirs I've ever had the honor of publishing. He talks with candor about his successes as well as setbacks and his career and his life."
Monica's gas.
Name and address is withheld.
P.U.
Mr. Clinton's also expected to talk in the book about terrorism and what he did or didn't do about it.
And the things I like and don't like.
I didn't do anything.
Course.
I didn't do the goddamn thing.
I didn't inhale.
How are you?
How are you?
Another former Baywatch babe is in another unauthorized internet porn video.
Oh, those bad girls, Buzz.
This time it's Gina Lee Nolan having sex on tape.
Hello!
She's a lot angrier about it than Paris Hilton was. The movie was shot by Gina's ex-husband, Greg, and internet sites say they've been told the price is about $1 million if they want the rights. A British reporter has seen the 7-minute tape and says it's quite a show.
7 minutes? $1 million?
Yes. Yeah. Good. Well, they know how much money could be made off it for
worth
whoever
it.
Buys that.
Worth it!
I heard you the first time. He jumped in with more than
worth it. Worth it! Worth it!
Okay.
And politics...
What is it, Mike?
I like her.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Worth it!
Worth it!
Politics makes strange bedfellows, as they say. Turns out TV's Daffy Jessica Simpson is a good friend of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh,
of course.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Of course.
Her dad, Joe Simpson, is very proud of this. He's hoping that Rumsfeld and Schwarzenegger can be persuaded to make appearances on Jessica's upcoming sitcom in which she plays a Daffy interviewer.
Hello, this is Joe Simpson. May I speak to Donald Rumsfeld?
Hello?
So you can do it like Shannon.
Hello, I'm Donald Rumsfeld. Would you like to be on my dumb daughter's television show? I will come on with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm a big fan. Now, here's Ricky Nelson with Wake Up, Little Susie. Hello, Buzz.
Hello. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Scott Shannon. By the way, Papa Joe says Donald Trump owes them a favor as well, so they're hoping he will make an appearance on her sitcom, too. Dream on.
Yeah, right.
You know, they got great ratings with whatever the thing is they did, the Sonny and Cher show.
Yeah, the variety special.
So now, are they talking about giving them a regular show, or is this a Christmas special? Because I read that they're doing a Christmas special.
The Christmas special is for sure. They definitely want to do more variety specials, and yeah, they are thinking about turning it into a variety series, a la Sonny and Cher.
No!
Yes. Finally, like yesterday at this time... Another flasher is off the streets.
Oh, no.
Spring seems to bring him out, so to speak.
Hello.
This time it was a...
Take a look at this.
This time it was a 20-year-old in San Mateo, California. Yesterday's flasher says he did it to meet women. Today's suspect, on at least two occasions, told women he'd gotten himself caught in his zipper and asked if they could help.
Hello.
That's funny.
See if he tries that during his 6 months in jail. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No.
That's it. We gotta go. Yeah. We're not running quite as late as yesterday, but we're late anyway. See you tomorrow with the American Idol stuff and our American Idol bit, and we'll give away a trip to Los Angeles tomorrow. One of 5 trips we're giving away in coordination with Spike TV, and their show, the 2004 Taurus World Stunt Awards, hosted by Dennis Hopper, televised Wednesday, May 26th, 9 p.m., 8 p.m. Central on Spike TV, First Network for Men. We'll give away our first trip to Los Angeles.
Cool.
Tomorrow in the show, we play another brand new game.
Yay.
Excelente.
Got to go. We'll see you then. Oh, and also tomorrow, the Colonel Sanders stuff that we didn't get to today.
Right.
Kirk Cameron stuff that we didn't get to today.
Lots of stuff.
And there's lots more cuts by Granny that we haven't gotten to yet
She's
either.
Not.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, O'Mara, I will see you tomorrow. And Spiewak. Let's go, Juan.
Who do you think will be on the phone with who first tonight for American Idol?
I'm going to leave my line open.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
Slauncha.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.